Hey, it's Ross Bade with Role Playing Public Radio. This is RPP, our actual play. We are playing Imperium Maledictum, the brand newest, oh, that's definitely the way to say it, a Warhammer 40,000 role-playing game from Cubicle 7. It is, Warhammer 40,000 is, of course, a world of grim dark. There is only war, but we're not even, war is not even the main point of this particular campaign. It is called the Indius Mandate, and we have a team of agents working for a patron, because that's the premise of the game, and so we'll find out about them. So we begin this campaign on the world of Dao Teras, which is a world that is important to the Adeptus Administratum. And it is a world where many archives and data vaults are kept. And so we have four agents, and they forced, well, we'll find out if they know each other or if they're strangers. Four figures walk towards the same data vault, showing the armed guards there a signed letter, allowing them inside. And so as each one enters, they take an elevator, leading them to a secure conference room. And so let's first focus on each of these agents. So when I introduce you, please mention anything you want to plug very quickly, and then tell us about your character. So Noah.
So, hi, I'm Noah. You can find me at Thinking Too Hard About Anime, where I do a podcast with my co-host Aaron J. Shelton, where we, it's a little bit of history, a little bit of analysis, and a lot of overthinking the Japanese creators we love so much. We're currently doing season all about Evangelion, all of Evangelion, the series, the movies, everything. And I am playing Guardsman Kurt Nexilp. I am a scout. And I am loaded for bear because they gave me a lot of weapons when I built this character. So unless they are taken from me when I enter, I am carrying like a long las carbine, an auto pistol with a massive silencer. I am the sneaky sniper guy in the crew.
So you are in the capital city of Dao Teras, which is a world that, yeah, how long have you been on this planet? Do you know much about it? It is dreary. It is a heavily built up city noted for the many, many building size data vaults. So just imagine an endless, like, block after block of just drab, ferrocrete, brutalist style buildings with massive heat pumps and water running into them and pouring out to keep these data vaults cool and operating with walkways underneath them. So yeah, that's sort of the visual look that we're going for. Thinking like, you know, very foggy because of all the heat pump being working, everything else, overcast, very dreary and bleak. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say I've not been on planet for very long, maybe like a week now. And most of that has probably been traveling to this location from wherever they dropped me off at.
Okay. And do you know how long now, out of character, I don't know if character creation covers how long you've been working for the patron or how you started working for the patron, or is that something we just determined through role playing?
I didn't see anything about
okay. All right, so I'll leave it up to you. If you have an idea of like how long you've been working for your current patron, you can. Otherwise, you could just say this is your first assignment.
This is going to be my first assignment.
Okay, yeah. So where did your character hail from?
Oh, geez.
What kind of world was it? You don't have to give
it. So he came from a feudal world.
Okay.
So he lived on a fairly, not quite as, you know, as terrible as like a hive or a death world or something like that, but it was still pretty rough growing up until the tithe ships came and off to the guards he went to join the Astra Militarum, where he found himself very adept at being unseen and, you know, a silent killer, for as good of a silent killer as a schlub like myself can be.
Yeah. So, yeah, you basically were assigned to a regiment, and then some paperwork showed up saying you've been reassigned and you've been given a lot of extra weapons that you normally wouldn't be carrying. And they told you to go meet it. So you go in. Next up, we have Thad.
Yes. Hello, it's Thad. I can be found on the internet sometimes. Don't do that, though. Nobody wants to be found there. I am playing the Harrow. That is my character's name. They are Voidborn, so a creature of this, you know, locked away in a dark space city that, you know, not a great place to grow up. But now I'm a sanctioned psyker. Don't question all the things that I did before that sanctioning. Those don't matter, because the dark places are gone from me now, and I am filled only with the light of justice. And that is why I am here. Yes.
Have you been working long for your current patron in the administratum?
Oh, I have no idea. Okay. Places, people, these things flow together. All I know is that I am to do what this person says. That is what I have been called to do, and just, so I shall.
You just live in the present.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Very good.
The past is full of darkness that need not be pierced any further.
Okay. And one thing that is noted is when you go into the conference room, you are told to sit in one specific area, and that there would be a person that will have to, there's a chair opposite you, and there is some sort of device in radiating energy that you're not very familiar with between the two seats. So yeah. And next up we have V.
Hi guys, I'm V. You've probably heard my voice here a couple times now, and I'm really happy to be back. If you like my voice and you want to hear more of it, you can check me out on the number 2 award winner for the Audio Fiction World Cup, the All Night Society, which was also happens to be the number 1 actual play podcast. If you like Vampire the Masquerade, whatever, it's kind of cool. I guess we're kind of neat. But everything else I do, you can find me over at Queen's Court Games. So at Queen's Court RPG on Twitter, at Queen's Court Games everywhere else. Or if for some reason you want to hear any of my silly ramblings, you can find me on the internet at V is for Vampire, because my name is V and I like vampires.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I'm playing Rabbit, who is a Voidborn as well, but does not likely know the Harrow. Have to remember the. She's an analyst for the Astra Militarum.
Yeah. And so you were reassigned, obviously, to your current patron. Have you been, is this also your first mission?
It is. Okay. But you know what? I aim to please. I am a little bit of a teacher's pet. So, you know, I aim to please. So it's my first, but it won't be my last. I promise.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you go up, and finally we have Kara.
Hello, I'm Kara. You may have heard me over at, well, now I forgot what Caleb's.
Dead Channels.
Dead Channels. You may have heard me over at Dead Channels, playing a few times with Caleb in the mysterious and terrible world of Delta Green. You can also hear me, along with Thaddeus, Eye Contact, Angry, at the Fandamentals with our great friend Jeremiah, who you should have heard of, even though you have definitely heard of Thaddeus, given that they spoke a moment earlier. But you will not find me on Twitter, because I am permabanned forever and ever, amen, and apparently I am worse than Alex Jones.
That's kind of a badge of honor, actually.
I am pretty proud of it. I regret nothing that I have ever said or any of the politicians I've ever made extremely cruel comments to, so I'm happy with myself.
Excellent. And yeah, tell us, what does Lim look like? What would others see?
Lim is a very small, but very sturdily built person. In fact, if you imagined Tonya Harding, probably exactly that size and build, maybe I used that as a reference, who knows? But a very small, solidly built woman with very large liquid eyes who has just a buzz cut, just short, almost shaved hair. And nothing else particularly visually interesting about her.
Okay.
But there is something a little off-putting.
Yeah, I would say for you, Lim, you were found on a hive world. And some interesting... You were actually treated very politely by certain people and told to... You're sort of get the impression you were hidden away. That someone wanted you for some organization didn't want you to be discovered by another organization. There's a lot of moving around at night. Don't talk to these people. Come with us. Go over here. Stay here. Very, very cloak and dagger kind of things. And it kind of wound up getting on a ship and finally making it to this planet and being told where to go and what to do and not to talk to anyone. And so you find yourself here. When you take the elevator up to the conference room, there is a young woman in a clerical scribe's outfit who tells you, yeah, that you need to sit in this corner and don't step away from this chair. There is an energy field, a little device blocking you off, kind of like, you know how in trials in some countries they'll put the defendant in a little glass box. You're in that, like, but except there's like a little energy field around you instead of glass. So there's the three of you who are sitting at, the Harrow sitting in the corner opposite the glass box, the energy field box. And the other two of you are sitting at this long table, clearly meant for like 30 people. And you're just there alone for a little bit, as the scribe has told you to wait for the person to give you your briefing. And yeah, does anybody say anything?
Lim has spent most of her life kind of being dragged around like a very expensive and somewhat dangerous sack of potatoes. And so the idea of being told to sit here and be silent, sit here, don't talk, stare into the middle distance is something that she is very comfortable with, and is in fact sitting there and staring into the middle distance at, through, whoever is misfortunate enough to sit across from her.
Okay. So the Harrow, you do get a distinct odd feeling, like the pressure in the air has changed as soon as Lim has entered the room. But yeah, you feel tense for some reason, but you can't quite place it. Yeah. But yeah, do you say anything, Harrow? The Harrow?
Sorry, who? Thanks.
This is good.
I'm doing this to you.
Yeah, no, you are.
No. Just sitting quietly, observing, looming somehow while sitting down, you know, things of this nature.
What about you, Rabbit? Are you saying anything as you wait?
No, but I'm definitely not just sitting there with my hands crossed in front of me. I'm pulling out anything that I need, some extra parchment, and then also my autoquill, because whatever is, you know, is going to be said, I want to make sure that I have it down. So I am laying out all of my stuff and organizing it very, very neatly, lining everything up edge to edge, corner to corner, just making my space very, very neat and organized.
Okay, and Kurt, are you saying anything as you wait?
I'm just observing the other three. I guess, Rabbit, since you're Militarum, you would have some sort of, like, markings, like, uniform, something like that. So, like, you know, I just kind of, like, you know, clock that, and then the two weirdos on either side of me.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, you were all given civilian clothing. The Militarum people were told to change out, although, like, didn't get rid of everything, or maybe you didn't pay attention. So, like, yeah, but you're not wearing your uniforms.
But I have that nice, like, very structured, cropped look of a Militarum. Like, you would just know, right? Like, there's a vibe. And, like,
oh, yeah.
I've passed the vibe check.
Well, also, your equipment is still, like, Militarum issued, right?
Yes.
Like, your autoquill and other things have the little insignia and everything, the Aquila and all that. So, after... Yeah.
Picking at her sleeves. Like, you know when someone is wearing something they're not comfortable with? Like, when someone wears a suit, they'll pick at it.
Oh, yeah.
Her very normal, sort of everyday clothing, she's picking at it, at the sleeves of it, as though she is unsure of what she is wearing.
Okay. Yeah, it's new. They're definitely new clothing. So
I'm not sure she's ever worn new clothing before.
Well, they definitely gave you new clothing for this. Like, clothing that would blend in on this planet. So they definitely had you change. So yeah, it's probably very uncomfortable. So after what seems like an eternity, but it's more like 5 minutes, the door at the far end of the room slides open, and a very nondescript man comes in. He's wearing just the drab administratum uniform. Those of you who know anything about the administratum might recognize subtle indications that he's a high-ranking adept, but if you don't have those kind of scholarly skills, just another bureaucrat, one of countless millions. But he sits at the end of the table. He has his own data slate. He looks at Rabbit and he says, no notes for this meeting. So this is verbal only.
I kind of scrunch my nose just a little bit and slowly begin to pack everything away in the very neat and orderly way that I unpacked it. It's actually kind of impressive if you were to look.
So you see, one of the reasons I chose all four of you is because you had all had excellent memories. So I know there's no need to take any notes. Hello, my name is Ignatius Vervium. I have requisitioned all four of you for very special mission for the Adeptus Administratum. I don't know how much you know about us, but we're the ones who keep the lights on. Not literally, that's the mechanist, but we're the ones that ensure that the engine of the Imperium keeps going, that the soldiers receive their laser weapons and other rations, that the mechanists, the Adeptus mechanists, get their
I crack my knuckles at the mention of the rations and the weapons on time.
Yeah. And if you think it was bad now, just imagine if we didn't. Occasionally we have to do certain things in order to keep everything smooth, because there's always profiteers, there's always lazy people, and there's a lot going on. And so I had to requisition for specialists in order to get something done, and here you are, and here I am. And so if this all works well, I think it'll be, well, you'll honestly, this is the kind of thing that can do you very well, because this could lead to a further opportunity for you where you could, you know, Kurt, I know you were assigned to, what was it? Was it another uprising, or was it off to the fight the Tyranid fleet?
I was a part of an uprising.
Yes, a lot of those. That wasn't very fun, was it?
No.
Yeah. You wouldn't want to do that again, would you? You've served the Imperium quite well.
A lot of good people die.
Yes, but you don't have to be one of you do this, and I can get you duty training, or, well, we'll talk about it if you do that, but all of you have special skills, and I think all of you will work well together, but I need you to go to a planet and retrieve three particular people and to bring them back, and I'll explain why, who these people are, and why you need to bring them. But I suppose I should introduce all of you. So yes, this is Kurt Nexlip. He is an excellent member of the Astrum Militarum, a dead shot, I'm told, according to your records. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we have Rabbit here, is an excellent analyst, as keen as a power sword, and very skilled in a lot of... You tell them about your great success figuring out the enemy's very dastardly plan and telling your commander in time to thwart it.
I'm not one to preen, but yes, it is quite easy to deduce where certain groups will make their next move when you can find previous communications that are just left out in the open. It's some folks like to give themselves more credit than they deserve, unfortunately. So these folks, we were incredibly lucky, because these folks were not the kind to switch things up when the going got good, as they like to say in my crew, for some reason. But no, once we were able to identify previous movements and compare kind of the order in which they had done things, it became clear that there was a pattern, and we were able to figure out where they were going to strike next and in what manner.
Exactly. You were the one to see through their deception, through their... Wow. Yes. And that's what I need, see through deception. But speaking of that, another person, the Harrow? Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm good to call you Harrow. I'm sorry I'm higher rank, it's just convenient for me.
But are a patron.
Yes. And you have some very unusual skills, and you've been very good at dealing with corrupt. Well, there were some very corrupt officials that were withholding rations, embezzling, and in one of the hive worlds. It was a hive, wasn't it?
There are many places where people seek to hide the truths that they'd rather not have exposed, whether it be in the deepest hives or whether it be within the deepest hives of the self. There is always a way to find such things, though.
Yes, there's one in particular, a Red Eye, a very notorious criminal. What was he guilty of? Was it heresy or just assassin?
Oh, he was guilty of many things. But the crime that he was charged with was... What? They call it embezzling?
Yes.
I
it's a type of stealing. It's a type of stealing, yes.
Yes,
and you found him, and you were very good at finding people, weren't you?
Yeah, good. Well, people are less good at hiding things than they think.
And then for a very quiet person in the back, the energy field is a necessity for you two will have to learn to work together. But Lim here is a null, a blank. And I don't know if any of you know what that is. Do you? Raise your hand.
Those actually existed.
They do. They do. They're mostly sent to the black ships, but this one you did not go to the black ships for very normal reasons. Don't worry about it. Anyway, Lim here is going to be your secret weapon in capturing these targets because all three of your targets are psykers. Now, Mr. Harrow here is also a psyker, and so that'll help as well. But nulls, if you're not aware of. Rabbit, are you aware of nulls?
Only in terms, but I don't have no.
Well, you know what a psyker is, right? I mean, yes. Well, nulls are like anti-psykers. They are also known as soulless. It's quite... Anyways, point Lim at a psyker and she'll be able to deal with him. And Lim, you can talk, right? The records say here you can talk.
I can talk. I haven't had anything to say.
Good. Well, I mean... What
am I supposed to do?
Well, I'm in the process. I just, you'll have to communicate with your team members here because you all be working as a team. And, if one of you should perish, I hope not. There will be a replacement, but, hopefully this will be... technically no one has to die for this entire mission. I want you to capture people, not if you have to defend yourself, fine. But so Lim here will be your secret weapon in capturing these three psykers. Now, they're not heretics, at least not in the way that they have to go to the Inquisition. They are criminals, but there's a difference between a criminal and a heretic. Anyway, so why are you here? There was a psyker, Silas Indius. He died, so you don't have to worry about him, but he died with a secret. And the Administratum really needs this secret. We really need this. And he entrusted the secret to three of his minions. And all of his minions were psykers. And so just to recap, Silas was a psyker, his minions were psykers. Now they did something, I'm not an expert on this, but the secret was embedded in the minds of the three psykers, but only a part of each one, and they can only unlock this secret when all three of them are together. So you need all three of them alive in order to get the secret. So now how that works, I'm not sure, but we need all three of them here alive. So that is your mission. Now with...
Lim is slowly raising her hand.
Yes.
Psykers don't like me.
I know. That's why...
Most people don't like me.
Well, for the record, I do like you. I admire your tenacity and your calmness. But that's why I need you here, because it's something they won't like, and it'll be able to shut down all of their nonsense. So the problem... is that all three of them, there's good news and bad news. The good news is we know what planet they're on, and we also know what all three minions, what their current identity is. I have their biometrics on this data sheet with their current aliases, and I don't think they'll be able to change them very easily, at least on the world that they're on. Their world that they're on is called Castum 2, and it's actually fairly advanced for a world. It's a knight world, not as in always knight, but as like imperial knights. So, and in order to move around on this planet, you need biometric data and a good identity. They've had problems in the past. Anyways, so you'll know what they look like. You'll know their names. You'll have the biometric data. The problem is, Castum 2 is currently fighting the civil war. There are two noble houses there. Let's see here. House Paxo and House Vandegard. And now, neither one is the planetary governor. The planetary governor is controls the capital city, and they're neutral, and they have a starport that's open. Both houses have agreed to sort of a limited civil war, a very civilized war, if you will. They're not using their titans, they're not using their knights, they're using older equipment and just baseline troops. It's a very populated world, so they have the manpower and equipment to spare, and they're fighting for some sort of advantage in being named the next planetary governor. The current governor is very old, and so both these noble houses want to take that control the planet. And from what I understand, it's not even... Well, anyway. And so the three targets are somewhere on this planet that's currently mostly taken up with a big civil war. So you'll be investigating and tracking down these people in a war zone. That's why, of course, you need Mr. Kurt here and as security. So that's the... I have some... So yes, here are their names. It is Gideon, Durid, Nova, Charok, Choruk, and Short Gunfills. So...
Can you just drop those in a chat
somewhere? I am definitely doing that, yeah. Gideon, Nova, and Shorit. Those are your three targets. Now, this is... you'll notice that this planet, Chasm 2, is not this planet. So you'll have to get a ship to go there. Now here's... I had to call in a lot of favors, but I got you on a ship. Now, it is the Humble Pilgrim, which is run by a Captain Helma Rikes. And now I was also told that my judgment of all of you are a little not so dogmatic that you would be unable to work with people who are working on the wrong side of the law, because this ship is fairly indiscreet about its cargo and passenger list. So I've already booked for your passage. It should be paid for. You should be fine. They're going to Chasm 2. You'll be going to Chasm 2. And you'll be dropped off at the capital city, which is just called, you know, a prime Chasm. And let's see here. Oh, no, sorry. I misread. It's a Damnadun. It's a hive city, actually. Small one, only 13 million people. And let's see here. But that is the overall mission. Go to this planet, find these three people, take them back to the capital, Damnadun, and the ship will stay there. It will be there for a while, and they'll be able to take you back to Chasm 2. So, now, are there any questions? Yes, Lim.
What is a civil war?
Actually, this is not like a regular war. Civil war is fought between two armies, technically on the same side. So, both House Pax and House Vandegard tithe. It's one of the few planets in this entire sector that's current on their ties, which is why they're given such latitude. So they're both loyal to the Imperium. They just hate each other. And so far, the response of all the powers that be have been decided, okay, let them fight it out. Just keep it civil. No nuclear weapons, no atomics, no Titans, no orbital strikes, just tanks and las weapons and slug weapons and that kind of thing. And
so it's like when two level gangs fight on the same level, but they both agree not to do anything that could damage the pipes.
Right.
That's actually, yes. Excellent. Yes. I knew what you were. Yeah. Yeah. You did well. That is correct. Yes. Mm-hmm. Kurt, you look like you had a question. Or
no, I'm actually, so we want, you want them intact. Is what,
yes. Well, they have to be alive in order for them to unlock this secret, is what I've been told.
What if they're already dead or they die, but it's not our fault? Are we still in trouble?
No, it's tragic if they are dead. That is a possibility. If it's not your fault, if they're already dead by the time you get there, be sure to verify. Make sure, don't assume they're dead unless you actually have their corpse. The data slate I'm giving you, he actually puts it on the table and sort of slides it across, sort of in the middle of the table. Any of you verify their biometric data through that data slate. So you can take a tissue sample and run it through that data slate, and it'll confirm if it's one of them or not. So don't if they fall off into a river or into a cliff, you have to go down there and get the body, because otherwise they're psychers. They can trick people. So make sure you get their body. Lim, yes.
What is a river?
It's like a pipe, but it's on the surface, and it's like rock. Like, imagine like a gulch with water running through it. A ditch, a very big ditch with lots of water. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Excellent question.
My arm goes straight up. Not like shooting very quickly, just like very purposefully straight up in the air.
Rabbit.
So to clarify, you wish for me to be in the field.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the thing is, As long as you don't side with House Paxo or House Vandergaard, neither side is allowed to just kill you. Now, they may deny you certain areas. Of course, you can sneak through. I don't know all the local customs, but as long as you don't ally with one side, you should be allowed to sort of travel the planet freely. You know, I will give you some letters to help with that. So you're not going to be fighting, per se, but you will be in a war zone. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that your first? Have you not been in the field before?
I don't typically go in the field. No. Well, no.
It's a great experience. It'll broaden your horizon.
Well, we all had to go through training, so at least that won't go to waste.
Yeah. Excellent. Any other questions? Harrow, you've been quiet.
The names of the pieces, the ways that civilizations fit together may call themselves what they will, but people are always the same. I have no questions.
Okay, excellent. Excellent.
Wrong.
Yes, and Kurt, your main job is obviously keeping the other three alive while they look for the people and
okay. Do that.
So I have all the faith in your abilities.
Well, I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. But yes, if you do this for the Administratum, you'll be doing the Imperium a great service. And you will advance your own careers quite considerably. Or we can get you, you know, something, whatever you were. Yeah, we'll work something out. I want to make sure you are justly compensated for your noble work in protecting mankind. Excellent. Well, I have to go to a meeting. I have many meetings. If you ask the guards for directions to the starport, you can walk there. It's not too far. And the ship is waiting for you. Or a shuttle is waiting for it to take you to the ship because it's an orbit. It's but the shuttle, well, yeah. Anyways, great. If there's no other questions, I'll be going. Good luck. And with that, Ignatius leaves.
Let's get rambling, I guess.
Yeah. So the four of you. So yeah, when you two leave the Harrow and Lim, we have to establish something.
Yay.
Yay. Let's see here. It is because you have a very special ability. Let's see here. Hmm. What page was that on?
Blank is on 103.
103. All right. Blank. All right. You're immune to... All right. You make disadvantages. Test.
Thank you for letting me play this character, Rob.
Yeah, so psychic blanks are... Let me just read this. You are a psychic blank, one of the extremely rare soulless. Psychic nulls like you carry the pariah gene, which denies you a psychic connection to the warp. Without that link, you have no presence within the immaterium, rendering you anathema to nearby psychers and demons. You curtail access to the immaterium in your immediate area. Ordinary humans find your presence disturbing and may even suffer headaches or nausea from prolonged exposure to you. So you automatically win to pose tests to resist a psychic power. You cannot be detected through psychic powers. You are immune to demonic possession. You're immune to demonic possession. You never gain corruption points. You make fellowship tests with disadvantage, i.e. all non-blank humans. Tests made to manifest a psychic power are made with disadvantage. Yeah, you are an individual. Let's see here. Yeah. So yeah, let's role play this. Lim and the Harrow, who's leaving their little Lim. So I imagine Kurt gets up first as a military man. He's got his assignment. He needs to get going. Rabbit, you're also military. So you're just like, and then yeah, Lim, are you also just getting up at the same time? Or are you going to wait for the others?
I actually am going to probably go last. So Lim did grow up on the bottommost level of a hive city at the very, very, very bottom, which means that certain concepts have eluded her because she has never seen things like land or sky or open air before. Mm-hmm. So everything is very novel. And she was raised by a series of gangs that took possession of her as they realized that she was both useful and upsetting. So she is somewhat ignorant, but has over time learned very important things. One, to stay away from other people and to keep like a decent distance in order for them not to throw rocks at her. So she is waiting for everyone else to go first, understanding to keep the distance in place. Okay.
All right, so the Harrow, are you also just getting up with the others and not really?
Yeah, I'll go along.
So the three of you get into the hallway first, and then Lim joins you in the hallway and no longer protected by the energy field. So, yeah, there's just, like, we have the rules on page 103. It doesn't say it causes you any pain or anything. It's just, game mechanics-wise, it only matters when you're actually, like, interacting with her or trying to use psychic powers on her or using psychic powers near her. So, yeah, what do you notice, the Harrow, when she steps into the hallways and you realize what she is?
She is very quiet.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Have you encountered a psychic blank before?
No.
Yeah.
Since I am a sanctioned psyker and they, you know, did stuff to me as part of training me up from being a weird feral psychic that they found in a hole in a space city somewhere, I know of them conceptually, but not directly. And so I'm going to roll myself something real quick.
Let's see
what my discipline is doing right now. Yeah, no, we're good. Not great, but we're good.
All right. Yeah. So
I'm just fascinated by the quiet one.
Okay. So Kurt and Rabbit, you're not psychers, but yeah, Lim is following you. Yeah. Sorry.
Are you two going to be okay like this? I know this is a little strange.
It is a part of my designated purpose. The patron has given me a group and a direction.
I'm always fine. It's everyone else that isn't.
All right. Rabbit, you okay?
Yes. A small, mild discomfort, but fine otherwise.
I'm very excited. I have never been on a team before.
This does not surprise me.
Okay. Yeah, we'll make this work.
Right. How does it feel to be the default mom to the worst ever? The ultimate bad news bears.
Aww. All right. So the four of you head down the elevator. And yeah, actually, so yeah, Lim, this is going to be like probably the first time you've seen sky, because this is a city with like a skyline. Like, it's just, you know, gray building after gray building. But there's this big gray thing above that with these rolling fog smoke things. Yeah. Clouds. Yeah, I guess you don't. Yeah.
Smoke. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lim does have a little bit of a reaction. Not a bad one, but just it's very bright. And she doesn't, so like a normal person knows like how to shield their eyes, but her response is to just put both of her hands over her face and try to peek through her fingers to block out the enormity of the light.
Yeah, it's like an overcast day. It is.
It doesn't matter. Okay, yeah. She grew up in the Undercity. Like, yeah. Her baseline is basically slightly brighter than candlelight. This All is right. very bright.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to have to get you some... Oh god, what are they called? I have them. I forget what they're actually called. Some photo visors.
God, I love the names in this world.
Yeah, it's not radio, it's the Vox caster. Yeah. It's a machine gun, it's an auto gun. So you get the directions from the guard, you know, go this way, go that way. It's about a 30-minute walk. And the four of you start walking. There are other people, and you could just basically imagine these big pillar, like, brutalist buildings, but, like, there's walkways between them. Mm-hmm. But below, it just goes down into darkness. And you know below, there's just this massive infrastructure where it is a proper hive to keep all these data vaults, these basically just server farm after server farm after server farm running. This is just the data archive of this entire galactic sector, or this sector of the galaxy. So... And now we can all make the first skill check of the campaign. So this is going to be an awareness check. And this will be challenging, which means no modifiers.
Gotcha.
36 under 40.
Okay.
Ooh, 33 under 35.
Ooh.
34 under 47.
Okay.
I gotta ask a painfully dumb question.
Mm-hmm.
Are we rolling, is it D100?
Yes. Yeah.
Under our number?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's under the total number, so.
Yeah. So if you have so what's your stealth or awareness, sorry?
41.
So yeah, if you want a 41 or lower.
Okay. And I got an 87 because my dudes, it is really fucking bright.
That makes sense. Also, a 1 through 5 is always a success, and a 96 through 100 is always a failure. So, and so those of you...
dice go away to the place of shame.
So all of you, those of you who succeed, realize that you are being followed. There are a group of, it looks like about half a dozen people that are, like, one of those of you make it can, like, see someone literally pointing at you from like a building over, and they sort of start fast walking to a catwalk that would get like closer to your position. So basically the way this city is laid out is like, imagine like just grids of boxes, you know, the data farms with like catwalks between them over like a misty, like, you know, like endless ravine below that leads into heat pumps and shit like that. So they can't just walk directly across. You have to take these catwalks, and you know, it breaks up occasionally, and there's like catwalks that go and ladders and stairs that go up and down levels. But yeah, you can tell that there's, you know, a group trying not to like just outright run, because there's occasionally like security guards walking around, you know, or, you know, security patrols, and they're trying to be discreet, but they're at a distance, and they're definitely trying to get to you. So Kurt, you made it?
Yes.
Okay.
2-6.
Yeah.
From this distance, can I make anything out about the folks? Are they wearing anything that, like, any sort of insignias that I could identify?
They're definitely wearing civilian clothing, like rag, like lower end. Like, do you have any knowledge skills about? Let's see here, look at the skill sheet. But I would say, like any lore skills.
Hmm.
Yeah, you can make a, I mean, yeah, I guess it's just lore. Yeah, just make a lore check.
That would be a 19 under 64.
Okay. Yeah, with that, they are, you actually recognize, so they're dressed like maintenance workers, like, but these are hand-me-downs, and they have subtle modifications to them. This is a gang. In fact, this is a gang that is very powerful in the city. They are called Scrolljackers, because they, unlike most gangs, deal in, like, weapons or drugs or people, you know, human trafficking, like, this gang deals in information, because it's a city of information, and that's more valuable than, yeah, I mean, the only thing other more valuable than is food, because the planet suffers massive famines, because they don't make any food here, but other than that, so they're still pretty far, but they are getting closer, so, yeah.
Without making it super obvious, I will, since I'm walking next to Kurt, I will just say, Scrolljackers. What do we do?
I saw a spot of them myself. We keep moving.
Be 6 or so.
Yes.
Keep moving.
I like the way I haven't noticed. And also I am trailing behind y'all by like 5 to 10 feet.
If we were to do anything more active, it would likely be best if the quiet one was nearer you and I was further away.
Indeed.
If you would like, I could get closer to investigate further without being seen. I have no particular experience working with others, so I'm perfectly willing to defer. Kurt, I assume you're the martial expert, yes?
Why don't you... I know it's going to be uncomfortable, but why don't you stay close to Rabbit? We'll take this corner. I'm going to hide, and I'll come up behind them when they make their move.
Okay. So you want to so you want to get behind them and use the other three as bait, essentially?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So that'll give you a plus 20 on your stealth check.
Okay. And I also have specialization in hiding.
Okay. Yeah. Whatever you add to that.
Okay.
Can I give you, I don't know how to pronounce this. I'm going to butcher it, but I have a chameleoline cloak. Okay, great. Cloak. Okay.
That's also how you say it.
Great.
I mean, if I'm not near Lim, I can cloud people's minds so that they cannot see me.
Can you do that to six people? Is it like everyone in an area?
Yeah, it's okay. As far as I know, it's every person and machine near me.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So that would be 19 out of 69.
Okay. They will get an awareness check, but they have it at base. So that's perception. And they fail. So we, all right. So yeah, we don't have to worry about success levels yet because
it's not right. Also,
yeah.
I have the skulker talent, which basically when I try to follow a person or group of people using a navigation tracking, I do not have to make stealth texts to remain undetected.
Okay.
Unless I do something very, very obvious, I am just gone.
So basically the way this works out is you get to a corner of a data vault, which has catwalks, you know, going to the north and to the east. And you start going to the north, but there's a crowd of people. And so you, Kurt, blend in the crowd and you just hang off to the corner with your back turned, sort of, you know, like glancing every once in a while.
Yeah.
The gang comes up and starts following the other three PCs on the catwalk leading to the north. So basically, you three now, so the PCs are going north on the catwalk to the next data vault, and the gang is behind them. Now you can, so what do you want to do? Like, do you want to wait until they're on the catwalk where they're vulnerable? Or do you want to see what they're going to do before making a move? Like, you are definitely behind them. They don't see you. They don't, you can tell that, like, you're watching there, that they're looking. They saw that there were four of you, and now they only see three of you. Right. So but there's other people here. Like I said, it's a big fucking city. So like they aren't like freaking out. And again, there's security here somewhere, so they can't just like ambush you in public.
Quick question. Kurt, do you have a Vox speed?
I do have a Vox speed.
Okay, fantastic. Then can we retcon that we definitely all would have set our Vox speeds to the same channel? Okay, great.
Yeah.
We did that on the elevator down.
Yeah, of course. Yep.
Okay. Is there going to be a moment where one of their guys lags behind?
Mm-hmm.
Can I?
Yeah, like the catwalk is small, like narrow enough that they kind of have to go like two at a time, and there's six of them. And but well, even like one at a time because there's people passing by. Like this is a public area, so you can definitely like come up behind someone and do something. But yeah,
I'm going to come up behind one of them and stick my auto gun into the small of his back. Mm-hmm. And be like, what do you want?
Okay. Is there a skill for persuasion? Well, I guess rapport or coercion. Yeah, I don't know if there's if rapport is used for intimidation or just persuasion. Yeah.
Let me see. Because there's also presence.
Yeah, presence. Yeah. We're learning the game, everybody.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Where are the skills?
I really always prefer having a physical book. PDFs are evil. I want to flip.
Well, the PDF has bookmarks too, so I just
have to. But it's not flipping pages.
It's not flipping pages. I mean, I actually do have the physical book too. I just am using the PDF right now. Let's see here. Backgrounds.
Presence has a specialization for intimidation, so I'm thinking that is going to be it.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I mean, you can, as far as I know, yeah, you can. I mean,
I'll give you a plus a 20 because you have him at gunpoint.
Okay. That is an ought 8.
Yeah.
Oh, that is a success automatically, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
All right, so he said, you know, be cool. What was your question again?
So what do you want?
Stay cooling, you know, just, you know. Don't get your heat sinks on. It's we're just looking for you. We saw you coming out of that building, man. Yeah, old Nat, he's always up to something. We just want to know what you're up to. Yeah, just give us a little taste, brother. We can make it worth your while. Yeah, well, Nat, you know, good old Nat, he's always got something going. Good something cooking. Nat. Yeah.
Well, here's what you're gonna do. You're gonna keep walking. And when you and your boys get to the other side of that catway, you're going to go the opposite way of us, and you're going to forget you ever saw us, unless you want to find out what's at the bottom of these towers.
Well, the guy in the back is definitely convinced. He's definitely going to do that. But, like, you know, what do you get? Are you saying that loud enough for the other five to hear you, or just him?
I will say that loud enough for the other five, like as they're getting across the catwalk. Okay.
So make another presence check, this time at a negative 10, because there's six of them. And they didn't like... let's see here.
So that is a failure. That is...
Rolf. They don't like Rolf. That was the one you caught. Thanks, random name generator. All right, so they stop and turn on the catwalk, and the leader of them, the guy who's at the front, he's like, come on, you may get old Rolf there, but we'll get you. So, come on, tell your little friends to come back here and play nice. We'll have a cup of tea made from coolant. Yeah.
You don't want to meet my friends.
So the three of you head on ahead, and you don't have to make a perception check to hear that, like, there's now some altercation starting on the catwalk between the two data vaults. So, yeah.
Quiet one. Are you capable of defending yourself or others?
Yes.
Would you be so kind as to be the shepherd of our fair rabbit here? I should probably go and make sure that Kurt is getting everything settled.
Oh yeah, also, by the way, just as an aside, you all have 3 fate points, which are meta currency in this game, and you can use them to, let's see here. Do all kinds of fun things. You can spin them. You can also burn them. Burning them is permanent. Otherwise, you start the game with 3 fate points every session. And here it is. Fate is on page 220 of the rule book. You can reroll a failed test, gain advantage on a test before a roll, add a success level to a test after a roll. The start of a round, choose when to act in that round, ignore an initiative. Ignore all effects from critical wounds, including conditions and injuries, or remove one condition. If you remove the prone condition, you regain one wound. A burning fate is basically like, I'm going to die. Now I don't. And here's different ways to do it. So, yeah. And then there's superiority. Superiority is actually, if this turns into combat, you're going to start with one superiority because you literally have one at gunpoint and you ambush them. So, good job. So, all right. So you're in a standoff with the gangers. None of them... You can tell they have pistols and knives. None of them have taken them out yet. Your gun is hidden in the guy's back, you know, like, and so you're all these 6 dudes staring down, 5 dudes staring down, one very scared looking guy and you. Meanwhile, and so the citizens who are trying to go from one data vault to the other, like starting to back off. It's only a matter of time before security sees this. So meanwhile, the Harrow rushes forward.
I am stepping far enough away from Lim till I feel slightly better.
Yeah, Lim and Rabbit are sort of hanging back on the data vault, on the north data vault, and you get to the northern side of the catwalk and, you know, the bridge, whatever you want to call it. And yeah, you can see this confrontation. One of the gangers has turned, sees you. And sort
does
of tells
he? Because
you,
I'm going to do something.
Okay, yeah, go for it. What are you doing?
I am going to activate Psychic Static, which, let's see, is on page 169, because I made reference notes for myself.
That's good.
But it is essentially, seeing this power is where I got the idea for this character, because I'm clouding the minds of those.
Oh. Definitely not a pulp character.
No, original character, do not steal, trademark, trademark.
Okay, yeah, so who would rip off a pre-existing character in fiction for their character?
That's absurd. Yeah. Okay, so
told my name backwards.
Yeah.
Okay,
it's a good 40k name. I'll tell you that. That's what it is.
That's a great way to.
I was actually going for a real Sly Marbo kind of thing.
Yeah, we're just playing 40k as it's intended to be played. Like,
yes, exactly.
Yeah, seriousness is for suckers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it is an easy minor psychic ability, which gives me a plus 40, and my psychic mastery is 60.
Okay.
So unless I critically fail, I cannot fail to do this.
Yeah.
And what it does is I emanate an imperceptible psychic static, shrouding me from notice and detection. Until the start of my next turn, a creature or device doesn't perceive you unless it wins an easy plus 40 awareness a test opposing your manifest test.
Okay.
So those
would have to beat your roll on that. Yeah.
Yes. And it is a thing that is cast on me. So I take that to mean that I'm invisible to anyone around.
Yeah, you would be.
Except, except I assume Lim will just see me the whole time.
Yeah, Lim is not affected by it. Yeah,
it's right. Extremely funny because you're dodging around and I can see you and I'm aware that nobody else can see you. I have learned not to say anything in these instances because it upsets people.
Okay. So I rolled a 76.
Yeah.
So
and that beats their roll because even with the bonus, they do not roll high enough. Yeah.
All right. Let me check real quick. I think I understand how I.
So they do not see no one is detecting you.
Yeah.
Kurt, you can roll if you want. You get an awareness test. You have to beat a 76 without failing. You do get plus 40 to it, but you have to beat a 76. So yeah.
Okay. That is a 56. So no.
So yeah. So yeah, no one detects you. What do you want
to
do?
I'm just going to stroll up to whoever decided to mark themselves as the boss by talking.
Yeah.
And I'm going to just pull out my pistol and wait.
Okay. All right. So yeah, you get in position to do that. Meanwhile, Lim and Rabbit, you two can give me awareness checks. Because you're watching from a distance, you can see.
Well, things. I mean, need an awareness check.
Not for the harrow, but for other things. Yeah.
96. It doesn't matter what my skill is. 96.
Yeah. You're just like, this is fucking weird.
68.
Okay. Yeah, you're a hive worlder. You know how a cop walks. That there's definitely some citizen talking to a cop. You know, a security agent and pointing out the catwalk. So you know they don't have much time before the people are going to be... This is going to get real ugly real quickly. So you could try and delay them to keep them from interfering. You could... Or you could be doing something else. Yeah. But, yeah.
Do we want to have some fun? Because I did get to pick some interesting weapons.
Mm-hmm.
My character build allowed me to do that, and there is something called. Is this not my character sheet? This is not my character sheet. Why do I have it open? Yes. Oh wait, it is mine. Shit, it's the wrong one.
I know.
Oh god, my life is an eternal hell. I closed my own character sheet trying to close the wrong one. Okay, I have something called like a choke grenade. So that just seems like it would be handy at this moment in time.
Yeah, it would be pretty. It would definitely hit your compatriot. Or compatriots on the catwalk, but it definitely you could use it to block off any security agents from interfering.
Yeah, and I'm thinking like I could either security agents. I'm either going to shoot them or I can stop them. I'm not sure which is really
okay. Well, you can get it ready, and if you see them starting to rush in, you know they probably would not start shooting first. They would probably march in on demand to know what's going on. And then when people start pointing weapons at them, they start, you know, using their shock batons. And that's when people start falling and getting knocked off the catwalk. And yeah. So, all right. So you get the, you start readying the choke grenade, getting it ready. If Rabbit, do you want to do anything? Or are you just going to wait to see what happens?
Yeah, I'm going to put my hand on my last pistol just because I don't know what's going to happen. And I better to be safe than sorry.
Okay, so the harrow's behind the gang leader, and Kurt, you have a gun to the back of Rolf, and the other gangers are looking at you. What do you want to do?
That's a good question. I'm going to give them one more warning and really like I'll push Rolf up against like the railing as I yell, y'all need to walk away right now.
I'll give you one more presence check.
Uh, 65. So that is not going to pass unless you give me a huge bonus or something.
Not a huge bonus. Like, no. I would have plus 10 to it.
I know something that might give him a bonus.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, what do you want? Yeah.
If they seem not to be taking the offer...
Well, what... The immediate thing is that they say, no, you ain't got the stones. throw them off. You throw them off there. You ain't got nothing to protect you from us shooting you and then grabbing your buddies. So yeah.
Okay. After he says that, I'm going to punctuate his sentence with a laser blast to the head.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. Plus 20 to hit because you're a point blank. Basically.
There we go.
I think it'd be plus 20. I mean, he's basically helpless. Yeah. You could always crit fail, but other than that.
Is 55. No, 53. Yeah. Yes. Success.
All right. Yeah, I'm gonna go roll damage. Like he's just you hit him in the back of the head with a lace pistol. There's a smoking crater in his head. The gang breaks. It's like, oh god, you know.
Sorry, Rolf.
Yeah. Like making noise makes me suddenly appear.
Yeah.
So
all right. Yeah.
There's just a person there holding a gun. You know.
Yeah.
And I'm going to wait a beat and then say, flee.
Well, I mean, as soon as you shoot him and Rolf goes over the side, all hell breaks loose because there's four gangers left and they are scared and armed, which is not a great combo, it turns out. They start, all right, turn order is sort of the first thing. Initiative. So initiative matters. And
I've heard tell.
Yeah, and you want to have good initiative. So well, now I have the book and the PDF up just so I can have both. The gang leader's
drifting.
Multi-track drifting. All right, their initiative is all 7. Does anybody have an initiative higher than 7?
I do.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, it should be on your character sheet. Okay.
I have 8.
Now you can spend a fate point to go whenever you want. Otherwise, Kurt, what is your initiative?
-6, so...
Okay, yeah. They're twitchy little bastards, so...
I will spend one.
Okay.
One fate point.
All right. When you want to go first?
Yeah.
All right, is anybody else spending the fate point to go first? All right. Nah. All right, Kurt, what do you want to do first? There's 4 left. They're all very fucking surprised.
They're like in a row on a catwalk, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to unload on them.
All right. What are you armed with?
I have my auto pistol with silencer out right now.
Okay.
It is close and rapid fire. It does not have loud. It has rapid fire 3.
Okay. Well, let's see here. Where is weapon? 2 talents. Armory. There it is. Weapons and armor. Rapid fire rating. That is, you declare that you rapid fire and you either choose to gain the weapon spread trait or you gain advantage on the attack roll and decrease. So spread, all creatures within immediate range of the target other than the attacker must make a challenging dodge roll or suffer half damage. So,
I will gain advantage on the attack roll and increase the weapon's damage by a rapid fire rating.
All right, so this is only going to hit one person. You're just sinking it all into one.
Yeah, whoever's in the front.
Yeah, because otherwise you would actually, Hera would also be hit by this too.
Yeah, exactly.
If the spread, because they're all clustered up. So yeah. Yeah, I've been playing Rogue Trader. That's kind of the thing with the, okay, sister of battle, you with the bolter. Yeah, keep. There's literally a trait for the sister of battle to be like, give your companions a free dodge on your attack when you're attacking them with your auto fire. So
yeah. So I just roll my ballistic skill. Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah, it's gonna be, let's see here. What, you are at close range. I think you definitely get a bonus. Let me see.
Okay.
Where the fuck is the bonus? It's always armory. Psychic powers, rules, here we go. Combat. Zones, positioning. Range, here it is. Short range. Does not give you... Oh, that's for movement, not for shooting. Making attack range, here it goes. A short range. Oh, come on. Well, it does not give you a bonus. I'll just give you a plus 10.
Okay.
Is that it?
Roll cool.
Let me see.
Okay.
What is my ballistic skill? Plus 10. 33.
Okay, that's a crit. So that is a crit. And your opponent scored more. Okay, let me. So that will definitely injure him if nothing else. He does get a reflex.
Are doubles crits in this too?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, in combat, doubles are crits.
Gotcha.
All right. What is. And he misses on his reflex, which I guess is just his agility rating. So yeah, he rolled a 49 out of 40. So yeah, you definitely hit. So it's a little more complicated than normal. So damage is, so a critical hit is you roll on a table and that gives him an injury. You might just outright kill him. So the damage is going to be a fixed number plus your success level. So what is your skill in it?
So my skill in it was 35. You give me a plus 10, that makes it 45.
Mm-hmm.
So I rolled a 33. So that's only a plus 1. But the damage number is 5, and then I add 3 to it for rapid fire. So that'd be an 8 plus
your success level.
So that'd be a 9?
Yeah. So that is 9 damage. Now, they have 13 wounds, but you also get a critical. And a critical would be, these are unnamed characters, so if they get one critical hit or one injury, they're dead.
Well, one of them was named. Rolf had a name.
Yeah, well, Rolf got domed in the back of the head.
Rolf got.
Oh, no, Rolf got rolled, and the gang leader got, yeah.
Rolf was smart. He got the fuck out.
Yeah. All right. The critical hit table's at the back.
I like the thing that Rolf eventually like catches like a flagpole on the way down and survives.
Ipsox hit the bricks at escape velocity.
Oh, so where this has hit locations, and hit locations based on your one. So like you rolled a 33, so that's a 3. Like if it was 43, it would still be a 3 because, you know, it's the last number. And that's a right arm. So it's our arm critical wound. Roll a...
That's how...
I think it's, you know, what do you roll for that? Because that has a D20 table, but it's like, or a 15 plus. I guess it's a D10 plus your success level.
Okay.
Yeah. This is more for, because this is a minion. He's going to go down anyway. But like, what happens to his arm?
So D10 plus 1.
Yeah.
4.
You shoot his hand off. Sliced hand. His hand is sliced open, sending jolts of pain through his arm. He's bleeding. He drops his pistol. So yeah, you just blow a giant hole in his hand and he goes down, screaming. And so
follow the railing.
No, he's on the ground. He's not gonna be that dramatic, but he's just spinning around holding his hand. It's like spraying blood on the other scrolljackers. So one thing this comet has also is superiority. Superiority is a mechanic where if you have more superiority, you the other enemy just like runs. Now, which is higher than their resolve. Their resolve is 1. Now normally your superiority starts at 0. Now because you ambushed them, you got 1 from that. But now you've taken out half of them, so you get another superiority for that. Taking out their leader and 2 of the regular minions is definitely 1. I think that might even be 2 a superiority. Either way, it's higher than 1. So normally they surrender or flee as soon as you do that, because these are just regular guys. So yeah, the remaining 3 guys don't want any part of this. And so they all run in different directions. Actually, yeah, because you have them boxed in. One of them grabs the guy who got his hand shot open and is using him as a shield to hold off. Yeah. And then the other two are trying to, give me a reflex check. Roll your agility or lower there, Harrow. Otherwise, they're going to knock you down. Let's see if like a dodge rating or something. You
24. My agility is 34. So I make.
Yep. So you're fine. So you dodge out of the way and they start running. So with the gunshots and everything, the security guy, Rabbit and Lim, you can see he's talking into a Vox, his own Vox B. He's clearly telling that there's some sort of altercation. He's going to be calling reinforcements soon. So the gang is running away and that's their turn. So let's see, Harrow, what's your initiative?
6.
And Lim, what's your initiative?
8.
Sorry, you would have gone first, but you were...
I said...
Oh, sorry.
And I'm like, I just figured I wasn't close enough.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. He spent a fate point. Yeah. All right. And Rabbit, what's your initiative? 4.
Oh.
All right.
It's really cute. I'm just a little guy.
You're just a little guy.
Birthday boy.
Just a little birthday boy. So, Yeah. Yeah. So, Lim, what do you want to do? Like, after you see this chaos happen and they break, you. So yeah. The gangers are running. Yeah. Yeah.
They're running. That's fine. They can run. We're supposed to be going to a spaceport, right?
Mm-hmm. You need to get to the shuttle.
Yeah. Well, the other two are fine. So I turn to Robin and be like, we should go to the shuttle. Whatever that is. Wherever it is. They'll be fine. Or they won't. But we should probably go.
I nod slowly. Yes, I'm not inclined to chase after them.
Okay. Hero, what about you?
I look over at Kurt. Shall we?
All right. What did the gang leader have on him?
You want to stop and search him?
I want to see if he has like extra like auto gun magazines.
Yeah. You pat him down. He had, let's see here, filtration plugs. Let's see here.
One in his nose.
Yeah. One solar, a $1 redo.
Good.
Yeah. Aww. He has an auto gun and a knife as well. So, but that's it. Yeah.
I'll take his auto gun and then we'll keep going.
Okay. So the problem now is the cops, the security people are definitely going to be trying to, cause they saw you two just, you know, shoot some people and they are wanting to capture you. So all of you should probably run. Yeah. Everyone give me athletics.
Triple Ot.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Oh, no.
99.
Can't roll much worse.
No, you can't.
73.
Okay.
Got dex, man. I can duck.
Let's see. 36. What is my athletics? No, that's a failure.
Okay, so it sounds like all of you failed. All right. So all of you start running and run smack dab into a riot squad of people with, you know, shotguns, security agents with shotguns, and, you know, and they see your weapons out and they yell at you to cease and desist. So someone can try to make a presence check. Someone, do you let them convince you on your way? You could try to bribe them. You could try fighting them. I mean, there are four of them with shotguns, and they have armor, so it's not going to be quite as easy as taking down gang.
I could try a presence check. That could be fun.
Okay.
That's so scary to hear.
What is everybody's presence?
Are you using regular presence or special presence?
No, I don't have any. I don't have any psychic bullshit for that.
Okay.
Mine's 30. My presence is 30.
Okay.
Mine is 35.
I have more presence than you.
Of course, you're played, but you're the main. You're the lead. Yeah,
of course. Yes. Yeah.
What is yours?
Mine's 37.
Oh no, I have more than you. I have 45.
Okay, so yes,
yeah, I have no presence, but there is a good reason for that.
Yes, you have an excuse.
Oh, and I rolled a 10.
Yeah.
All right, three success levels because that's a one versus your four. Yeah.
So here, under the light of the Emperor, we are to be waylaid for defending ourselves against common ruffians. Is that what things have come to?
Yeah, and it's curious. You're not one of the Skrulljackers. Okay. Yeah, be on your way, citizen. Keep out there. They're after somebody. They're a dangerous gang.
Ah, many thanks. Glad to see you here in time to protect the poor common folk.
Sorry. Who are they after?
We don't know. They normally don't attack this high. They must have been tempted by someone with valuable information. It's what they go after, people with juicy secrets. But clearly, yeah. So we don't know. So all of you do make it to the Humble Pilgrim. The shuttle is a shuttle there. A Voidborn pilot is there, looking just smoking and sitting on a crate. She flips open her helmet. And sees the four of you, and is like, looks at you, looks back to the, yeah, no, you look like four people that would never be matched together. Yeah, so, yeah, no, come on board. The captain's waiting for you up in the ship. So, all right. And so you go into space to meet the captain. So all of you get on board the shuttle that takes you up to the Humble Pilgrim. which is a ostensibly a normal trading ship. Now, let's see here. The Hero and Rabbit, you are both born on ships, so you know a little bit more about them. So this is, Rabbit, what kind of ship were you born on? Was it like an official, like, military ship, a trading ship, like, every faction in the Imperium has their own fleet of ships. The biggest one's obviously the Imperial Navy, the military, but, like, there are rogue traders, there's just regular traders, you know, there's explorers, there's pirates, there's all kinds of people. Like, what kind of ship were you on? Big one, small one?
I was born on a very large military ship. I was born in the military. I will die in the military.
Yeah. This ship fucking sucks. You can see it. It is tiny. Your ship had a permanent population of like 50,000. Like, it was a battleship. It was, you know, massive guns. Clans live on that ship, live and die for generations. You know, your lineage, you could trace back. Your family was on that ship for 1,000 years at a minimum. This is a dinky ass ship for you. This is like, and it's also like clearly not, it's not a pirate ship because it's being allowed in legitimate Imperium space, but it's like, they definitely deal with pirates. This is a shady, you can just tell this is a shady ass ship. This is probably only got a crew of like 2,000, a very, very small by Navy standards. Meanwhile, let's see here. The Harrow, you were also born on a ship.
Well, a station, actually.
A station, yeah. What kind of station?
Absurdly large. There were sections of it that lost contact with each other to the point that they, when they reestablished contact, things had gotten weird.
Was it like a trading station or a scientific station or a military station?
It had originally been a trading station, but it became somewhat disconnected for a while.
Okay.
either because the system itself was seen to not have as much of value, or I know not of such things. I know is that it was chaotic and lonely.
So a space station
too close
on the progression to becoming a space Hulk. So there's actually like a really nice bar that was made out of a ship about the size that you're going into. Like again, they would just graft on crappy ships and weld them on there, and like, that's part of the station now. That's how you expand.
Chunks of my early life in rooms bigger than this.
So the Humble Pilgrim is a trading ship. It is a small, it still has a navigator because you need a astropath, so in order to navigate the warp, i.e. to go faster than light. Well, don't worry, the ship is very big, so Lynn can stay away from the astropath. The Captain Helma Reichs greets you. She is a older woman wearing a great coat and a very fancy, ridiculous-looking hat, or impressive-looking hat to you. And she has a power sword on her side, several implants, cybernetic implants, and several that have dead eyes and fast hands. And she just looks to Kurt. Hello, Nat's a good friend, and I'm happy to do him a bit of service. So you'll be dining with me tonight at the captain's table. So make yourself at home. Your cordial, we'll have our... Well, do you need any servants or anybody to onboard? Or do you want to keep to yourselves?
No, I think we should be fine.
Okay. Yeah, good. So there's me, and then there is... Otto. She points over there. There is a man with a very tall, gangly man, very pale, unnaturally pale, paler than Lim even, with a big blindfold on his forehead. Otto's our navigator, and when she points at him, he actually kind of smiles and waves, and it's a very odd feeling having a navigator smile at you. Don't worry, I've been told about which one of you is got the condition.
That's this one over here, the quiet one in the back.
Okay, yeah. Well, if you could stay away from Otto there, that would be very nice. Otto is very friendly, but he knows... Let me... Go tell... Go. She points at you, Lim, while looking at Otto. It's like, all right, so you two stay away from each other, okay?
I stay away from everyone.
Okay. Okay, well, especially him, all right? We need him to get through the warp, okay? Okay. Good. All right. Well, I'll have let's see here. Leona get you your rooms, and then I'll see you at dinner. So she goes off to attend to the rest of the cargo being loaded on there. So yeah, there is a crew of about 2,000. It looks like they are getting ready to jump into the warp to head to Castum 2. And Otto is there, and he actually seems, well, for those of you with good lord, like, he seems unusually friendly for a navigator. So if you want to talk to somebody or do something before the dinner, you can. But otherwise, we can just fast forward to that as you throw your meager possessions into a two rooms, one for Lim and one for the other three of you. And Lim's room is really like a access hatch that leads into a dark space with a single light and a bathroom that was welded in recently.
So. Get under the stairs.
Hey, bathroom.
Yeah.
Luxury.
Aww. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a mat too. Yeah. That catches
Tommy. Lim is both used to being alone and impressed by the enormous room and the amenities included in it. The area of the hive that literally fell out the bottom into a crevice in the earth that she grew up in didn't have a lot. So running water and amenities is still impressive to her and will continue to be for the rest of the campaign.
And they don't even
own the lost child on a field trip.
And they don't even lock you in. You can just get up and open the door and get out of the room whenever you want. So yeah, I'll just go to each one. Well, you can lock it on the inside so that they can't get in. So you got that going for you. Yeah. So the Harrow, are you doing anything before dinner?
I suppose it's common for people to abbreviate names. Yes.
Yeah, usually, especially when you have like an article beforehand, like the makes it a little difficult.
I had merely noticed that the captain of this ship used the same abbreviation for our patron's name as the people who attempted to rob us on the way to the ship. I wasn't sure if this was simply an artifact of both of them being aware of the patron's name or if there was a possible connection, but I don't know as much about such niceties.
I mean, his name is Ignatius. People are going to want to cut that down. At least, you know, people on this level of society.
I make no presumptions. I merely point out suspicion.
Well, we can always send him a message before we get too far, just to keep him safe.
I mean, you're still on the planet. You could have actually sent him a Vox message before you took up in the shuttle to let him know that Squirrel Jackers were trying to get you. So
they did say Nat.
Yeah.
So
yeah. So you send that to him, so at least he's warned about that. All right. So, Rabbit, are you doing anything before dinner?
Aside from unpacking a couple of my items, I will make a comment specifically to the Harrow as I'm doing so. And I will look and say, sorry, I just coughed. And I will say, I was sure that this ship was going to take us to the actual ship.
Scale is difficult to pin down in different places in the universe.
The fact that
be large,
that's a terrifying and upsetting thought. Surely it cannot be.
Well, the things that the hands of man are capable of is often very funny in ways it shouldn't be.
Let's see. All right. And Kurt, is there anything you want to do before dinner?
I'm just going to do maintenance on my equipment until dinner time.
Yeah. All right.
Phrasing.
Yes.
But so, yeah, after a couple hours, you can feel the ship start to move. The engines rear up as they are maneuvering out of the planet's orbit into deep space to begin preparations to enter the warp. And yeah, so the Voidborn, you know, you probably take like a day to like run a lot of last maintenance checks before you actually go into the warp, especially on a ship this dinky. At least, you know, it's so you're not going to go. Yeah. So you got at least a day before you actually jump into the warp. But a servant comes, knocks on both on all your doors, or you know, the two doors, or the door and the hatch, and says, "Dinner is served. You are the captain has invited you, and just follow me." And
so forward. All right.
Yeah. So you're taken to the captain's quarters, where there are a very large table set up. It's you, the other officers. Lim, Otto is not there. The captain says, "Don't worry about Otto. He's meditating to get ready for his arduous job, but welcome." So yeah, there's actually, it's a pretty decent spread. There's something there that each of you would like to eat. Kurt, what's a thing you would like to eat? Like fresh meat, fresh vegetables, something processed perhaps?
I would think like fresh bread.
Yeah. Freshly baked bread. Obviously, you have no idea where they got this. The planet you're on is not known for its food or bakeries. They must have one on board. So how the fuck they get that? But it smells intoxicating to you. Yeah. When was the last time you had fresh bread?
Probably when I was a child.
Yeah. Then Lim, is there, the corpse starch rations, is that your favorite? Or do you have Grox meat, or the... they call them rats. You're not sure what a rat is, except the small furry things that scurry around in the dark. Or what's something that Lim likes to eat?
I'm actually going to go in a slightly different direction. Fungi, actually.
Mm.
It's as big as a man, and you have to be careful because sometimes they do. It is suspected eat men. But whatever it is, it has a quality to it that's not dissimilar to flesh, slightly luminescent, and grows in the deepest areas of the hive, but is incredibly nutritious.
Okay.
Slightly hallucinogenic, but only a touch. Like, you feel a little loopy, but not like you're going to die.
Okay, a little euphoric, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that hive might have an orc infestation.
Don't worry about it. So... yeah, they are carving out. They have a little station where they're carving. There's a guy's like, "Hey, how did you catch the game?" And he's carving out sections of hallucinogenic fungi, little steaks. And let's see here, rabbit. What's a food you like to eat?
Cheese, but like very potent cheese. Like the stinkier, the better. Like you give rabbit a piece of like mild cheddar, mm-hmm. and she doesn't really see the point because. If you're going to like have cheese, right?
All right. Well, they have it under little dishes, but the little dishes has a little thing where you can open it up and ooh, yes, yes, delicious. The stinkiest and aged of cheeses.
Yes.
Yeah. And the harrow.
I'm actually also leaning in a fungal direction. There's a particular kind of essentially like nested fungus dumpling based on a particular kind that grew in between certain levels in the station back home. The inside being this sort of stewed preparation with the tougher outside being what it is stuffed inside of, giving it a little bit of a crunch. It's quite nice, actually.
Yeah. You don't know where they got, where they found it, but they have you swear it's the exact same strain. Maybe it just grows in a lot of stations and forgotten ships. Maybe on this very ship itself. But it smells delicious. And so, of course, there's some grox meat, jerky and some other delectables and various beverages. What's it called? Amsec? Is it the popular liquor? Yeah. Lots of bottles of that. Captain Helm is very friendly and open and, doesn't ask anything about you. Just tells you there's a little pre-dinner show even of some knife throwing and acrobatics from some of the talented crew members. And yeah, all of you, what is like the human skill or the sense motive skill? Is there one? I think it's probably just presence, I were to guess. Or rapport, probably.
I think that's rapport.
Yeah. We'll just do rapport. Skills, here we go. Rapport. Yeah, I'll use rapport.
Sure.
All right, you can make a rapport check if you want.
Nope.
Okay.
Nah.
I can try.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, 64.
Nope, mine is also a failure.
I have no riz. I got no riz.
You got no riz?
I am eating my trippy mushrooms with my hands because I do not know. I have never been given the luxury of eating utensils before.
Okay. A rabbit.
In the corner away from everyone else.
Okay. So no one made it, it sounds like.
No.
Okay. All right.
I got a 93 over 20, so no.
Yeah, that's fair.
Badly. Even if we were using like awareness, which I'm much better at, it would still be no.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're all very surprised, like late in the evening, like how you're enjoying yourselves. You're actually kind of relaxing, or I mean, as relaxed as you want to be, obviously, but like they are clearly, you know, at ease here and are trying to be hospitable. When Helma's like, say, I wanted to let you know, there's a slight pit stop we're going to be making before we hit to Castum 2. And I wanted to know if you were in the business of, if you have business on Castum 2, I could help you if you can help me with something.
Okay.
We're going to be stopping at an asteroid, a big rock where there's a shipwreck on it. But it's a Xenos ship, and a certain tech priest wants some of that, just some scrap of that ship for analysis. If Nat sends you, Nat believes in you. Nat's not going to send novices or fools on there. If you can accompany my crew, provide a little bit of extra security. And also, if you probably have some keen eyes, if you find anything else in that wreckage that might be worth something, I could do a very big favor to you. I know. If you want coin, I could provide that, but I imagine you probably want a friend down there. I doubt any of you have been to Castum 2 before.
No, sure.
I could make an introduction for you to a very valuable friend. Friend with a lot of influence and a lot of information. No pressure, but it would be worth your while, I think.
Well, Rabbit, Harrow, how do we...
Well, if we don't have a say in whether or not we're stopping anyway.
Yeah, I need to get that scrap. Yeah.
Connections could be valuable, and it is... usually best not to perturb one's driver, as it were.
Lim, you have any qualms about this?
Oh, do what you're told, Lim. Don't go off on your own, Lim. Don't do anything outside of what you were told, Lim. Don't bother other people. I don't. I'll go where you go, but I don't think that we're supposed to do other things.
Well, don't worry, Nat's not going to know about this. I'm not going to say anything. Are you going to say anything?
Is anyone going to ask?
Probably not. I mean, my crew's going to stay on the ship. Well, I mean, you know, not during the mission, but not during the... But, you know, we're not going to talk. We're not going to... They know not to ask questions or to even, you know... They have bad memories. They probably won't even remember you once you leave.
Well... This better be, your contact better be well worth it for hopping aboard another ship.
Oh no, it's a ship that wrecked into an asteroid or was abandoned. I'm not quite sure. And we're just basically cutting out the hull for scrap. But, you know, if you want to poke inside, there's undoubtedly valuable things in there. I mean, it's a Xeno ship.
What kind of Xeno ship?
Well, you know a lot about Xenos?
I've got my primer.
What does the primer say about the Xenos? Does it list this even what the species are?
Oh yeah, you've got some stuff in here about the orcs.
Oh, it's Eldari. Definitely not orcs. No one would pay for orc scrap.
There's even a little bit about the Tau in here.
Oh, you know about the Tau?
I mean, what I've read. I haven't met them personally.
Well, it's a Tau ship. What does your primer have to say about their ships?
Let's see here.
You keep that on you with at all times?
It's... If I can't produce this at a moment's notice, I get a flogging, all right? They
Some habits die hard, I imagine.
Yeah. Tau have hollow bones, poor eyesight, frightened by fire, water, thunder.
Well, there's no Tau left. I guarantee that.
They're descended from bovine herbivores, says here.
I wonder how they taste.
Well, there's probably not even any remains left. It's a ship that it's a wreck we've known about for a while. It's just, you know, someone says, oh, I want the hull for, you know, as much of it as you can fit in your ship. And I'll pay top, you know.
Oh, here we go.
Pay a high price for it. I'm like, well, of course. Can't be heresy for metal, even if it's alien metal.
Vehicle recognition, Tau patterns.
Oh.
Well, on a light scammer, devilfish, hammerhead.
Well, it's not a armored vehicle. It's not something you would encounter on a battlefield. It's a space. It's a void ship. Well, you research that manual and let me know, but we'll be there in a few days and you might want to take some time. We'll get some void suits for you to practice. It is a zero G asteroid because, you know, it's not on a planet. I don't know how familiar you all are with zero G maneuvering, but
part of the guard, not the Navy.
Well, no time like the present to learn. You've got 3 days before you will be landing there, so plenty of time to practice a bit, and we'll even have a training center for you. Yeah. So it's agreed. Good. The crew will be very happy. We're having some heavy hitters here. And no one else. Yeah, it'll go great. Great. So dinner concludes. And yeah, you all have 3 days. You can train with your void suits and learn how they work. And let's see here. If you can give me athletics tests, you can see how well you handle the crew teaching you zero G maneuvers and the principles of this.
Oh, that's upsetting. 43 over 37.
I'll give you a plus 10 bonus. Yeah, you have 3 days. If this is all you're going to be doing, if you want that bonus.
Yes, that's fine. I mean, what else do I have to do? Study? I have an eidetic memory. I don't need to study anything.
Okay.
38 under 41 without any bonuses.
Okay.
I did get 47 over 32.
Okay. So some of you are doing well. Some of you not. What about you, the harrow?
I whiff hard.
Okay. So those of you who succeed, you'll be able to make all athletics tests without penalty. Those of you who fail will do it at disadvantage when you're doing, you know, things like jumping or running or things like that. You can spend a fate point to negate that for a scene or, yeah, if...
Would I be able to spend some time assisting them?
Oh, yeah. Do you have... Let's see here. There was a skill for leadership. I think that was presence, too. You can give me a presence check.
Sure.
Leadership.
That is 23 under 37.
Okay. So, under 37. So, that's a success level 1. You can help one of your comrades.
I'll help Lim out.
Okay.
I actually make a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
I do not like that they said that the crew would stay behind on the ship. I think I should stay behind on the ship because I can guarantee the ship won't leave without you all on it.
No, she misspoke. She meant that the crew won't be like leaving the ship later on to tell about what you've done. Like they'll be helping. They're the ones cutting up the hull.
The idea of me staying behind, and if anything goes wrong, everybody's fucked.
Well, I mean, out of character, you can care, but like, if anything happens in the scene, you'll be.
Yeah, you would basically be out of that part of the adventure.
Out of character, they're not going to try and leave you behind. Like,
okay, because I was concerned. In that case, yeah. Yes, you can try to help. I have really high dexterity. Come on, man.
Sometimes the dice are just jerks. Oh, yeah. And you're from a world of gravity. That's one thing you're not used to is this zero G bullshit.
Has anyone ever seen somebody who has no soul just projectile vomit? Today you have.
Yeah. There we go. So yeah, 3 days pass, and of course you go through the warp while you're in the warp while you're doing this. So yeah. Yeah, everyone give me, let's see here. Let's just do a straight up. Is it discipline for the resisting warp bullshit? Yeah, discipline. Okay. All right. Yeah, everyone give me discipline. If you don't have a train, it's just willpower.
That is 26 under 35.
24 under 35.
98 over 37.
Ought one.
All right. So we had average. Okay, okay. Really good. God. All right.
Wait for the mail to prove the ship worthy of protecting your legions and bring your light wherever they travel. Shoot me from the mail. I am reading the litany of warp travel.
Yeah. Over and over again. So yeah, you have terrible nightmares and visions of apocalyptic doom as unspeakable warp entities plague your dreams. So yeah, you're gonna be exhausted. So yeah.
Metagame, but can I like offer to help with that? Because I feel like that my presence is disturbing, but it would be better than nightmares.
Yeah, so that's the first night. So yeah, do you wanna do that for the remaining two nights, Kurt? Cuddle up with the soulless, or do you wanna take the warp nightmares?
I'll give one soulless night and we'll see how I feel after that.
Alright, give me another discipline check.
God. That's a 15 under 37.
Yeah, you sleep fine. Yeah, also give me a discipline check, Lim. You're sleeping next to another person. That's deeply discomfort. Weird. Yeah.
People don't do that.
Yeah.
That's an 85.
Yeah.
It is the most upsetting thing I have ever done in my life at this point. I have never had since possibly like gestation had someone be this close to me for this long. And mm-hmm. especially and be not miserable about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So yeah, you're just miserable about it. It's not. Yeah. You don't have any warp nightmares the second day. Are you going to let him sleep for the third day?
Yeah. Life is misery.
All right, so Lim, you'll be exhausted because yeah, you have a tough time getting to sleep. So yeah, you'll have a disadvantage, and when I say disadvantage, on that means instead of like rolling twice and taking the worst of the two results, you flip your tens and your ones on a percentile roll if it would be worse. So yeah, if you rolled like a 19, you'd have to flip it to a 91. And so I'll let you choose one attribute that will be at disadvantage for this next scene. Could be a mental one or a physical one. So just let me know when you figure it out. But yeah, it either slows you down, or, you know, your head is foggy, or your muscles are aching from being cramped up, or something. And all skills associated with it will be at disadvantage. But I'll let you choose.
Do you mean like which characteristic? Or
yeah, which characteristic? Yeah.
I'm going to say wisdom.
Okay.
So the way I'm thinking is slow to know information, slow to respond, slow to be able to answer questions. So anything.
Wait, do you mean willpower? Or
will?
WS is weapon skill. Yeah, yeah. yeah, it's not.
Yeah, let's go with willpower.
Okay.
Willpower is not doing great. So, I mean, I can't be harmed by anything in the void.
Yeah.
Essentially, any attempt to be like, Any time you're trying to get my attention, trying to talk to me, trying to give me instructions, you're probably going to have to say it two or three times because the lights are on, but like we ate a lot of those stoner mushrooms.
Yeah. Yeah. And sleeping next to a person is just. Ugh.
I did not sleep the entire time.
Yeah.
I laid next to a person with their mouth air.
You eventually like lose consciousness, but it's not like a lot. It's you never get that deep sleep that you need. It's always. Yeah. So the ship pops out of the warp. You're in the outer solar system of the Castum system. Castum 2 is the second planet from the sun, but you're in an asteroid in the outer system. It's a very large asteroid. It's a couple hundred square miles in size. The captain takes you to the bridge where she shows you on the cogitator, the screen. There is a massive shipwreck, and it doesn't look like an Imperial ship. None of you have probably seen a Tau ship before, let alone a ruined one. And yeah, it's there. And she says, all right, suit up. We'll... Now, your main job is security. The crew here, they'll do the hard work of cutting open the hull, loading it onto the, giving it to the servitors. Servitors will take it into the hull. You know, we have a cargo vehicle to help with this. It'll take a couple hours. If you want to go into the wreckage, so we're going to be in the outer outside the wreckage proper, just cutting it into the hull. But there's, as you can see, there's numerous holes into this ship's hull. And if your void suits have lights, you have vox systems. If you want to go in and look for wreckage, this place is, it's not a pristine wreck. Other people have been here before, but you know, it's a big ship and we don't think anyone's like extensively looted it. So who knows? Anything you find, you're just here to provide security. Anything you find is yours. I'll buy it at a high price if you want to sell it, but if you want to keep it, it's yours. But of course, it is illegal to have Xenos items without the permission of a certain official. It can get you in a sticky situation. The cold trade is not for everyone. But that's your concern, not mine. Anyway, good luck. So you load in your suits. The ship takes you. There's basically, the shuttle, you all load in the shuttle. Shuttle is fully cramped, fully loaded with servitors, other crew members and a cargo vehicle. And you land on the planet. And it's utterly silent aside from the box system. It's space. You're out there. Probably. How many of you actually been in a void suit in space before? Probably Kurt. Yeah,
probably once.
Yeah. So yeah, especially you, Lim, how are you dealing with these incredibly open spaces of being on the surface of an asteroid and seeing, you know, the space above you and the star in the distance? And yeah,
we are consciously not looking at mm-hmm. it. It is an unpleasant and disturbing sight, but you know, the ground is close by, and if you mm-hmm. think about it, right, the sky is just like a roof.
Yeah, there you go. The Harrow, what about you?
I mean, I've been in many kinds of darkness before, and I've worn mag boots plenty of times. This is no different.
Mag boots don't work on the surface.
Saying, I'm used to certain kinds of low and zero gravity. This is different, but mm-hmm. not completely unexpected.
All right. So they start get to cutting, and actually, no, as you approach, you can give me awareness checks.
71 over 35. Not cutting it.
It's fine.
22.
Damn.
28 under 41.
Okay.
I fail. 70 okay. over 47.
All right, those of you who make it, you see flashes of light. Well, you, Lim, see flashes of light. Like, let's see here. Like, picture the ship as like, you know, it's basically a long cylinder, right? Like, you know, a rocket. So like you're at the one end, approaching from this end as it's sort of at an angle to you, and that's where you're going to get. On the other end, you can see some lights as you're coming down in the shuttle. That's what you see, Lynn, with your 22 there. Those are Lay's shots. They weren't shooting at you. They were shooting like perpendicular. You see several of them, and Kurt, you realize that there is a firefight going on the other side of the ship. Some sort of battle. And that's when you have the bright idea to like start scanning for Vox traffic, and mm-hmm. you start picking up bursts of transmissions. Now, getting something useful from that would be a tech roll. So, let's see here. Rabbit, do you have any like tech?
I've got 54.
Yeah. You can give me a tech roll, because I assume you pointed out to the others there, Kurt.
Yes. Do you have a comm leech there, Rabbit?
I don't.
Okay, I'll hand you my comm leech.
Okay.
This allows for you to tap into signals undetected.
Oh, great.
You can use a comm leech to make a challenging plus zero tech test to attempt to intercept electronic signals out to 3 miles. You can intercept messages at a number of minutes long equal to the success level.
Okay, that's really handy. And then I rolled a 29 under 54.
Oh, great. So you get a lot of fucking information. There's two sources of Vox traffic. One is clearly space pirates, because they say that they're pirates. Like, then they say they're with the Jerryman's crew, the most notorious pirates in the system. And then the other ones reply, "You don't know who you're dealing with. We are the Eyes of Blood. The Chaos Gods favor us. And this Xeno ship shall be ours." for the Chaos Gods! So you realize that these two got here and are fighting over this wreckage, and they haven't realized that you're here yet, probably because they're so focused on the firefight and the shuttle is very small at a distance. But once you start cutting into the ship, you're going to be generating a lot of light and a lot of heat, and they are probably going to notice you, and they're probably not going to assume that, yeah, that's probably going to attract a lot of unwanted attention. So, yeah.
Tell, like, just from, like, listening in, is there a way to kind of, like, gather information on how many people are involved in this? Like, a rough estimate?
Yeah. You get a sense that there are about four squads per side. Three or four. There's four units per individual side. You don't know exactly how many on there, but you estimate a squad anywhere from 3 to 6 people. So, like, you know, 12 to 24 people per side. And they each have a commander. You recognize the commanders by their voice. They're the ones doing most of the, you know, trying to scare the other group into leaving. And they are, yeah, small units tactics, using a lot of laser weapons and stuff like that. They're mostly not willing to charge each other. They're mostly just taking pot shots from the cover of this a very heavily armored ship, which is basically immune to laser fire. So they apparently have a lot of laser shots, a lot of ammo. So they're just shooting at each other behind cover and not willing to take any risks. So it's yeah. But yeah, so 12 to 24 per side. Now with the crew, there's you four plus about, I'd say, 12 spacers with you in the shuttle. And obviously there's 2,000 on the ship, but, you know, you don't know how'd they get here. You don't know where their ships are, if they have reinforcements waiting. So this could escalate quite a bit. Yeah.
Can the rest of us, like, can only Rabbit hear what's on the radio? Or can the rest
I'll let Rabbit, like, filter the traffic so you can all listen in as well and, like, pick up different things. So you can, she's acting as like a router to sort of pick up all the network traffic so you can all kind of make checks to figure out what's going on or, like, make plans based on this information. So yeah, you can listen into. Yeah. So what do you want to do with that information, Lynn? Or hearing?
We do not. I don't care about criminality. I don't care about stealing. I really don't care that much about Xenos, but I care a lot about followers of the Chaos Gods.
Mm-hmm.
And this will not stand.
Yeah.
I will go. You can come with me or I will go alone. That is the one thing.
Okay. All right.
So let's see here.
It's a little bit odd because the sort of formerly passive, almost sweet, shy Null is suddenly much more animated with a little bit of the light of the cultist in her eyes. Oh. Because plucked from obscurity and nowhere by the hand of the Emperor, she was drawn out of the Underhive, and her loyalty is absolute.
Actually, just as a side, intuition is the skill to use to pick up as the scent motive human skill.
Sorry.
But you can use it on groups, too. So you can all give me an intuition check. Especially after Lim has mentioned that, you know, Lim wants to kill all the Chaos Cultists.
I'm too distracted trying to filter any new incoming information because I only got a 44 over 35. So,
okay,
not quite.
61 over 35 sounds normal to me.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just watching the distant laser fire.
Okay. So none of you figure out anything.
Mm-mm. No, we're all dumb as rocks.
Look, I'm busy. I'm focused. Okay. Like, you can't ask me to intuit anything when I there's data to go through.
Okay.
Kind of rude, actually.
That's fair. So what's Lim wants to go take out the Chaos Cultists. Who wants to join her? Do you want to try and recruit the crew members of the Humble Pilgrim to help you? Or is this like all team
down? There was like 12
to 12 20? To 24 is Rabbit's guess based on the Vox traffic.
Total or on like each side?
Each side. So yeah, there's more than you could take in a fair fight. Now, obviously, an ambush would give you a force multiplier, you know, but yeah.
We're not, I understand, wanting to wipe the scum off the face of the galaxy, but we're not exactly in the strongest position. We need to get some backup if we want to really take it to these people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if all Lim cares about is the Chaos God, only one group worships them.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's fair. Let's see what we can work out here. Let's come up with a game plan.
Okay. If you have a relevant skill that would help you come up with a game plan, I don't know if there's like a logic.
Logic?
Yeah.
Don't do sure. this.
Yeah. Or academics? Or no, lore, if there was one. Let's see. I'm just seeing if there's like a lore for battle or something like that. You know, lore tactics. Do. Yeah.
Well, they're all the same rating for me anyway. So.
Okay, yeah. Well, there you go.
I do have Faithful of the Imperial Cult, which might be helpful.
Is that a talent?
Destroying heretics. Yes.
Okay. Well, yeah, when you actually get into battle, that'll be something to keep in mind. But
until then.
Yeah, this is just like figuring out how to do it, not, yeah, doing. Yeah. So what'd you get there?
91. Nope.
You could spend a fate point to flip that to a 19.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, let's go ahead and do that.
Okay. There are a couple of ways you realize you could even the odds. One is to open up negotiations with the Jerryman's crew and coordinate with them to do a pincher attack. Also, you could recruit people from the people you're here in the shuttle with. You could tell them, like, hey, we need to go attack those people and flank them. Or three, you could bluff them. Say you're with the Imperial Navy and scare them away. Four, you could see if there's a reactor in the ship and blow up that part of the ship. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, those are four things that immediately come to mind. Yeah.
I think working with these pirates might be our best bet.
Yeah, because with rabbits,
the amount of...
Yeah. You can contact them too, rabbit. So yeah.
Oh, great. That's fantastic.
Yeah, because with a comm leech in your tech role, yeah, you definitely have access to that. Okay, so who wants... I think Harrow's actually the best talker in the group.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah. I'll say Rabbit, by the way. You also find out why... They actually talk about why they're called the Jerryman's crew. It's like, you know why we're called the Jerryman? He loves to take the jerry cans and pour promethium on his foes and burn them alive. So, yeah. It's what we do to people we don't like you. So, yeah.
That... Sounds like Sounds a very valid. Painful way to go. Yeah.
Anyways, the Chaos Cultists aren't scared by that, weirdly enough. At least they don't sound scared. You can make another intuition check.
Yeah, I actually will. Yeah, that's it. That seems fun.
I will, Let's too.
Let's see how they're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
56.
I don't know. 9.
So, listening to the Eyes of Blood and listening to their chatter, you realize these were miners. Like space miners, like people mining an asteroid somewhere in this system, that rebelled because of horrible working conditions, and they turned to the Chaos Gods out of desperation. And
because in the grim, dark future, you cannot form a union.
You cannot form a union. Yeah, that's heresy. And they talk about their dear departed leader. Like, apparently they were being led by some prophet who was a psyker who sacrificed herself so they could get on the ship and escape the mining station before it blew up. So these guys, they do mention the Chaos Gods. They mention something about Tzeentch and Khorne and blood for the Blood Throne. But they're very novice acolyte cultists. They're not like hardened yet. They still sound kind of scared and like they don't know what they're doing. They're lost, purposeless cultists. So yeah, their morale is they're not as fanatical as what you think most Chaos cultists are. They're They made some bad decisions and they don't know what they're doing. So meanwhile, you land on the ship. By the way, you haven't even told the people you're in the shuttle with about this because they were so focused on their job and they're just like crew. You know, the captain doesn't tell them it's a problem. They don't know. They don't give a shit. Just do your job and keep going on. So they didn't even look out the portholes to notice the lay shots. So, yeah. So you land the shuttle a couple hundred meters away from the wreck, the landing thing opens up, the cargo vehicle comes out, the servitors start coming out, and the crew starts trudging towards it with their welding equipment. So, unless you want to tell them, or warn them about the battle on the other side of the ship.
Hold on.
There's chaos here.
There are some combatants at the other end of the ship. We need you to stay hunkered down until we handle this situation. We We don't want you getting injured or damaging the ship.
Oh. Oh, thanks, boss. Yeah, I didn't think anybody would be fighting over this scrap heap. Well, good luck!
Alright.
Oh, Captain made a good choice hiring security. Yeah, good job, Captain.
Alright. So, okay. let's get organized. Do you want to talk to... Have you talked to pirate companions yet?
No.
The ones that we're going to try and team up against the others with?
The Jerry Man.
The Jerry Men.
Yeah, the Jerry Men, yeah. Because they use the jerry cans. All right, yeah. All right.
Oh, 13. Okay.
Ooh. Hell yeah. Wow. So what's your opening?
Jerryman, if you tire of this stalemate, then perhaps I have an offer for you.
Who's this?
A mere traveler, but we may help you with scouring the surface of this from these pretenders of chaos. And in exchange, we may all go our separate ways at the end.
You don't take it. We can still loot the ship, can't we?
Whatever anyone finds becomes their loot. And I see no reason to have any problem with that. I prefer to scour the chaos and worry for the rest another time.
We've got to take some for ourselves, too. Don't forget.
Okay. All right. We'll... What's your plan?
Kurt?
We can circle around behind them. I can provide long range fire, just sort of a pincer, your basic pincer.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's, you don't have to make a roll for that. You kind of like, oh, we're on the northeast side. We're on the northwest mm-hmm. side of the ship. And we're on the southwest side. Oh, and they're on the southeast side. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. So basically you kind of figure out, look at the terrain. You realize there's a really good rock to be behind. That would be behind the Chaos Cultist position. Or you don't want to go just charging at them from open ground, right? So there's a big rock. It would be a good place to shoot them from long range with your, you know, long range laser weapon. The other place would be to go along either on the top of the ship or through the middle of the ship and coming at them from a different angle than they'd be expecting. On top of the ship would be a lot faster and a lot safer. You can see there's nothing on top of the ship. But once they know you're up there, you're kind of like on open ground, right? And there's not many holes in the top of the ship, it looks like, so you can't just jump down into the ship itself. There's actually, ship's still remarkably intact. I mean, there's big holes in it, but not like, it mostly fell intact. Now, if you go through the middle ship, who the fuck knows? But obviously you have a lot of cover. So the big rock would be a stealth or an athletics check to get to, or to jump on top of the ship is free. And you just walk up there, it's, you know, just walk on top of the ship. And if you go inside the ship, well, you don't know what's in there. So,
yeah. I will take the rock. I don't know what everybody else wants to, how they want to play it.
I think that actually having different people in different positions would be a good idea.
Yeah.
I'm going up and over.
Okay.
Well, I don't feel like leaving Lim alone is smart for... I don't know, a few reasons, but...
Do you have a las carbine?
No, I have a las pistol, but I do also have a frag grenade. I don't know how frag grenades work in space, but...
Very well, actually, if you're a good thrower. They just keep going. They never stop until they explode, so...
Yeah.
Well, how long is the fuse on your grenade?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Typically 4 or 5 seconds, but I don't know what the actual.
You know, this it's in the 40,000 years in the future, the fuses are slightly better. I will say you can program it or you can set the timer from the standard is 4 seconds, but you can actually open up. There's actually a little device, a little thing to give it a longer or shorter fuse. You can have up to anywhere from 1 second to 15 seconds.
If you would like.
Yeah.
I could walk up and place it among them and then leave.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
That's a good idea.
That's okay. A great idea.
All right. All right. So all of this is happening at the same time. Kurt, do you want to belly crawl to the thing or do you want to run to the good rock?
I will sneak.
Okay. I'll give you plus 20 because they're not looking that direction.
Okay. That is 63 under 64.
Damn. Very good. So Lim, you jump on top of the ship. Bee! You know, it's like moon gravity. It's very low. And that's pretty good. So you're on there. So, Rabbit, you're with her on top of the ship with your laser pistol. You handed your grenade off to the Harrow. The Harrow, go ahead and give me that psychic test.
Which is, again, 60 plus 40, because psychic static is easy as shit.
Yep.
If somebody would like my last carbine, they can take it.
Rabbit will take it, just because it's a longer range weapon, so yeah.
That is 85.
Okay, yeah. They aren't aware of you. So, yeah, you see basically two groups of people in void suits. You can tell they have different markings on them, the pirates. There's a bunch of jerry cans next to the pirate section of this firefight, weirdly enough. They really believe in the branding of their captain. But the chaos cultists have really crap, just the worst chaos signs you've ever seen. Like, in terms of, like, execution, like, there's 7 stars on the 8-star image. Like, they can't count right. They can't draw a skull with shit. They don't, they just, oh god, these guys are just, they're not very good at being chaos cultists. And so, like I said, there's 4 squads. They're all scattered about sort of equidistant from each other. You can, you know, one squad is closest to you. That would be the easiest to sneak up onto. And just plant the grenade in the middle with 15 seconds and then bounce away. Mm. You just want to do that. But yeah.
Yes, that is what I will do. I'm imagining the signal is going to be when the grenade goes off.
Yeah, you will have to give me athletics checks, because even with 15 seconds, that's, you got to move. Because the grenade go boom, and you don't want to be anywhere affected by it, because you don't get flung into space from the, I guess there's not much of a shockwave, because there's no air, but still.
Realized I could do something even more silly and continue to increase my warp charge.
Mm-hmm.
I also have a spectral hands, which is essentially telekinesis. So I could just walk to a safe distance and then float the grenade over and just place it there.
Yeah, you don't have to make an athletics check. Yeah, you just have to make the... What do you have to make?
Yeah, that one is slightly less easy. It's routine, so it would be 60 plus 20.
Uh-huh.
So I got to roll under an 80.
Mm-hmm. If you succeed, then you won't have to make the athletics, and you'll be in cover, because, like, yeah.
And that is a 30.
All right. So the grenade goes off. One squad is just shredded by the grenade. No rolls necessary. They're in void suits. They're crappy void suits. You just see 4 bodies just, and they just start flying off. 2 of them into space. 2 of them hit sides of the ship, impaling themselves on jagged bits of the metal wreckage of the ship. And you all get an ambush action. So, Kurt, do you want to give me an awareness check to pick out the leader from all these void suits?
Sure. 17 out of 40.
Yep. There's one with, he's got extra spiky bits on his void suit.
Uh-huh. They always do.
They love the spiky bits.
All right. My long las. Ranged. And ought 8.
Okay.
At 45.
Oh, shit. That's extra levels of success. Yeah, he's also already been wounded. It's an ambush action. Yeah, he's gone.
Technically, I was going to say, my thing has penetrating 1, which means it defeats 1 armor level of armor. I would think that would just punch a hole in his void suit. And he,
Yeah, even if he wasn't killed outright, the punctured void suit would also be a real big problem for him. So that will definitely, that's going to, yeah. So you have 2 superiority from that. What is their superiority? Because they might, I don't know what their chaos, like, you know, I said the gang has a superiority of 1, but they have void people. Yeah, no, theirs is 1. Okay. So Lim, you're on top of the ship. You look down, you see one squad get deleted by the grenade. You can see the cult leader get shot in the back of the head. There's 2 in, and that squad is definitely panicking. There's 2 squads that haven't been touched yet during this ambush action. What do you want to do?
The 2 squads that haven't been touched yet. Am I medium distance?
Yeah.
I actually have a...
You have the high ground.
I have the high ground, and I have a stub pistol and a las pistol.
Actually, range won't matter for the stub pistol because there's no air. It'll just, the bullet will just keep going.
Physics,
you have a plus 10 on the stub pistol. Last plus 1 might have better armor penetrating. Actually, if you give me an awareness check.
Okay. A 35 under awareness? 35 under 41.
Okay, one of the squads has a big barrel of promethium with them, which is rocket fuel, essentially. Like, an explodey barrel is near. Obviously, part of the supplies they were using to cut open the ship for their own access. Oh, so, yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, I should probably use... Does it matter if I use the las pistol? It'll explode with either...
The las pistol would be better to detonate the promethium.
I grab the las pistol and just gently squeeze off one shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be a standard
range, I think.
Range,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no pew sounds because, you know, you're in space.
But in my heart, there are pew sounds.
I can't remember the name of the game, but there is a video game that was set like fighting. It was like a competitive FPS game where you're all astronauts shooting at each other in orbit. And it's like, every time you load up, it's like, virtual sounds enabled. So like, even though you're in space, you still heard gunshots and rockets and shit like that.
That's cute. I
like that as a move. That's good.
Yeah. Anyways, did you make your attack?
Yeah.
What'd you roll?
Did you hit?
98.
Okay. Well, that last definitely hit the asteroid. So, a rabbit, you see what Lim was shooting at?
Yeah, I have a feeling my luck is probably going to be about the same, but you know what? I have this carbine, so let's go.
Mm-hmm. All right, make an attack roll.
No, 59 okay. over 30.
Okay. Wait, what did you roll, Kara?
98.
Okay, yeah, you couldn't flip that.
Yeah, there's nothing to be done.
Yeah, yeah. I think, no, you can spend a fate point to re-roll.
Yeah, fuck it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So if you want to do that, you can. Otherwise, we will move on to actual... Actually, no. They you kill the leader in one squad in one round and flank them. So that's going to give you two superiority at least. So that would be enough to cause them to flee. Yeah. Because these are not, like, high-resolve enemies. They're not very determined. So the Chaos Cultists fall back, start running across somewhere in the distance, you know, away from the shipwreckage.
How does Lynn feel about that?
She's going to chase them if somebody doesn't convince her not to.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, let's, Rabbit, you're right next to her. You see Lynn jumping. What is Lynn? How does Lynn immediately react to seeing the Chaos Cultists flee, running, bouncing away?
Just, if she jumps down to run after him, she's like a dog. Just after them.
All right, so she floats down, you know, takes a giant leap. Give me another range check to see as you fire your laser pistol as you're jumping down from the ship.
A 58.
Is that hit? Is that
over 30? No.
No. Yeah. 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 Just wildly firing the laser pistol.
This is infuriating.
It happens. So, Rabbit, do you want to do anything?
Yeah, I'm not gonna let her just go off by herself, so I don't assume that I'm close enough to just grab her, so...
You can try, yeah, she was right, she was near you, like, you could still try.
Yeah.
Athletics.
Athletics, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's an 11 under 37.
All right, so, Lim, you jump off the ship, and then... You feel something at the nape of your neck, and you look back and see rabbits holding on to the back of your void suit, or the strap on the back of your void suit. You're just... Whoa!
Weren't you the one saying that we aren't supposed to run off and do other things, Lim? I understand that you have a thing going on, but we don't need to go on this wild goose chase right now.
Have you ever seen... If cats exist in this universe, you know how, like, when your cat has, like, the gremlin zoomies, and they're just, no, 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 and you pick them up, and they're just, their eyes are just pupil? Like, just, that is what her eyes look like, just gremlin zoomies. And also, we are on a little bit of a staggered, so she hasn't exactly heard what you've said, and also, even in the void, even through the void suit, being this close and grabbing onto her is not a pleasant experience.
No, no, absolutely not. But I wasn't just going to let you jump. So I'm dealing with it as best I can. It's uncomfortable to say the least. But I think with an 11, I'm pretty confident. Well, I mean, I guess I could roll like a willpower if you wanted to see if I hold on. No. Okay.
It's just like ambiance.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah.
So there's a moment of like gremlin eyes, and then just after a moment, the mission.
The mission. Yeah. So
and when I'm confident that Lim is not going to jump again, I will set her down.
Yeah, you can pull her back up top of the roof again. Zero G. It's not hard. Or you could float down. Like, this part of the ship, by the way, is like was hit by something big, so there is a hole in this part of the roof. That's why you're able to shoot down into the wreckage of the ship. So you can jump down into the wreckage of the ship. Or you can just head back to where your crew is and, you know, tell the Jerry Magic, good job. We'll stay on our side, you stay on your side. And yeah, so
sounds like a plan to me.
Yeah, so yeah, the Jerryman, they want to get some scrap too. They're looking for Xenos artifacts to sell, and no one chases after the Chaos Cultists. And you tell the crew, the Humble Pilgrim, to start cutting. They start get to work. Does anybody want to go in the ship to look for loot, or do you want to just wait your time and get back on the nice human-made ship instead of the weird wrecked alien ship?
I mean, the Harrow has no opinion about this, so we'll do whatever the team decides.
I want to take a peek inside, just like look around while they're cutting away at stuff, but I don't know how much exploring I'm actually going to do.
Okay. So yeah, there are numerous, it looks like the ship was evacuated. There's numerous smaller entrances that are all open. There's like a cargo bay in the middle that was opened up. And again, the ship was hit by enemy fire, clearly, based on the impact craters, impact holes. But on the ship, that on the side near, there's a humanish sized door near where your crew is cutting up the hull, and you can just just peek in. So you do that. You look around. Give me awareness and lore. You want to look at that. And so if anyone wants to join Kurt, you can.
Yeah, this would be something that I would be incredibly interested in, just because, you know, cataloging information is the thing that I do.
28 under 40 for awareness.
Okay.
And then
you see something.
79 on lore. So now.
Okay, so you look down the hallway, you notice there's some machines or parts of the components of the ship that fell off and landed on something, and it's caked in dust, but you notice, you kind of like, you go over to it and brush it off, and you see a skeletal arm, and you realize that there was an alien that, you know, something. You look above, you could see like a little niche where this component of the ship was supposed to be in, and it clearly like broke, fell, killed the alien, and nobody noticed. It got buried in the dust, and it's been here all this time. You sort of look under some of this broken machinery that's on top of this alien skeleton, and you can see there's something under the machinery, like something metallic, something long and curved, or has curved parts to it. But you failed your lore check, so you don't know what it is. But, like, you need to lift or get this machine off in order to get access to it. So, rabbit.
Yeah, because I actually got a 55 under 64 for my lore.
Oh, well, then you know exactly what this is.
Of course I do.
That skeleton is not a Tau. It's a Kroot, which are an alien species that were allied with the Tau and work as soldiers for them. They're like more bird-like, but they're long, strong, and they eat other species. That thing under that is almost certainly a Kroot rifle, which is a weapon that they use. Yeah, it's got blades at the end, and like, yeah, there's probably some ammo with it. So, yeah.
I'm going to explain this to Kurt when I look over and I see this really confused, blank look on his face, and just rather matter-of-factly, almost as, like, I'm not trying to be condescending, that's just kind of how it comes off, like, how do you not know this? Like, you know about the Tau, but you don't know about the Kroot, like, who are you? What, I don't understand.
Activate anyway. Info dump.
Exactly. Yes. my trap card. But I will point out the weapon and just say it's a Krut rifle there. It's probably more your speed than mine.
I mean, we'll find out. You want to give me a hand moving this thing?
Fine.
All right. Both you get. So who has the higher athletics? Probably you, Kurt.
I'm going to assume.
Yeah.
I don't know. What is it? What is it?
I have a 41.
Well, yeah, only barely. Mine's 37.
Okay. So you can assist, but it'll be using Kurt's roll. It'd be plus 10 to Kurt's roll, I think.
How you doing?
You good there, buddy?
Doing okay.
Yeah, you okay?
You having a good time?
Kurt explodes. I got a 99.
Stop using those dice.
Did you switch your diet? Like,
do you have a fate point to respend?
I have one fate point more of this. Are we going to be playing, Ross?
This is the end of the session. Like, yeah, this is. Yeah.
I will go ahead and use it then.
Yeah, smoke them if you got them.
All right. Oh yeah, go ahead and roll your roll.
29.
All right. So instead of being shot by the Krut rifle, after dropping the machine on it, and in another timeline, you drop the machine, hitting the weapon right on its trigger, pulling it up, and it you know blows a hole in your chest. Yeah, but in this timeline,
save scumming.
Yeah, they really are. But in this timeline, you manage to lift the component up, and you have a Krut rifle. Yeah, with a bandolier of ammo. Well, you think it's ammo, but yeah, it's a big Xenos weapon. So yeah. And after a couple hours of work, they have a cargo full of, they have a full load of Tau ship metal to sell to the tech priests. And you get back on board the ship. And Captain Rikes is very happy. And she says, yes, Kali Wol is an information broker. And she is in the capital city of Damnedon, and I will vox her as soon as we get in orbit to let her know that she can expect you. And she has eyes and ears everywhere. She runs the orphanarium, and all of the children of the orphan are her good little helpers. And there's not something that happens that she doesn't know about. So whatever you're trying to do, she'll be the person to talk to. So yeah. And that's where we end, is you head on to your planet of Castum 2. To find your three targets as part of the Indius Mandate. So, yay, you did it.
Nobody died.
Nobody died.
Well,
yeah.
Several people died.
Yeah. Well. So, we'll save for the beginning of next session events and endeavors. But look at that section in the rule book. Basically, every player character gets at a random event every session, and they can do a group endeavor and individual endeavor, which is like what you do in off time. You can train, you can speculate, you know, try a gig economy job or something. I don't know. There's a lot of cool things.
Actually,
yeah.
Before we wrap up and before we like leave this asteroid, I want to do something just to see what happens, which is you gain warp, right? You gain warp charge when you use psychic stuff, and you kind of got to get rid of that. Now, to do this during combat, you have to roll for it, but if we're not in a stressful situation, then I can just dump my warp charge before we leave this place. Roll to see what weird shit is going to haunt this area where I did that.
All right, yeah.
Because it's probably best to purge that on the ship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go outside and do my business, you know.
Can you not call it that?
No. It's in the past now. It's happened.
Okay.
It's on the recording. All right. It is forever.
It's canonical now.
Yeah.
All right. Making a roll like
wizard on the fingers in the space.
Yeah. Making a roll on the psychic phenomena table. I rolled a 75, which means memory worm. Everyone in the area finds it difficult to recall minor things such as people's names or the time. Lingering the area. Okay. No, that's if I did that more than once. So we're good.
All right, yeah.
Now anyone who visits that ship is going to get weirdly forgetful.
Yeah. Yeah, no wonder people, maybe this isn't even the first time this happened. That's why people keep hitting the same fucking wreckage. We haven't been here before. Let's go hit this ship. Yeah, the Tau ship. Yeah, everyone loves the Tau wreckage. Yeah, so you get on board. So yeah, there'll be events and endeavors. So before we end the session, any thoughts on the system and campaign so far, V?
Yeah, I'm having a lot of fun. I was a little nervous, especially when like reading over the combat stuff, because it's not similar to other systems that I've played, aside from like the D100s. That's pretty much where the similarities end and start. But no, it's been okay. I think it'll be a while before I ever would try and run something like this, because there's a lot to keep track of. But you know, I'm having a blast. I think it's really fun, and I like that everybody's bringing something different to the table. So it's really really nice, because like we all have like there are similar backgrounds and stuff, but it's cool because everybody's different, and our skill sets are very very unique, and I like that.
Yeah, I did structure this session to be kind of a tutorial thing for like, well, there's some random gang members attacking you, gangers. Yeah, like that's pretty easy to deal with, and like, yeah, that would get through a lot of rules. And then like this one was like, oh, there's two groups of assholes that hate each other. Go Yojimbo it a bit, you know? Yeah, very classic stuff. Thad, any thoughts?
I do appreciate the fact that enemies can be cowed away. Like the idea.
Yeah, the superiority stuff is really interesting. Yeah,
yeah, that's very good, because that's a thing that always drives me nuts in video games, when every single mook is ride or die forever to gouge your eyes out with their thumbs.
Well, they have those juicy experience points. You got to get those.
Yeah. But no, I really like that mechanic a lot. That's fun to see. Unfortunately, I didn't get to use my other power that I was hoping to use in that fight, but I feel like... Yeah, we'll see later. We'll worry about it.
Yeah. Akira?
I'm having a good time. I have... The thing is I always... And I feel like everybody thinks they do this, but I'm sure... I feel like I do it the most. I build a character thinking, I'm going to build it for these reasons and this purpose, and it never works out as planned. So in terms of that, that's the eternal frustration of being a little sister and nothing ever working. But besides that... I'm having a good time. I'm very excited to see, and I like that we have a lot of people with a lot of different abilities.
Yeah.
Well, I think that that's what makes things the most fun, is like, you want to try and stack like an evenly distributed party with different skills and combat and out of combat and things like that, so that way people are not stepping on each other's toes. But everyone has something to do at different points, so I'm excited for that. I think it's a good sign when a crew like builds a team that works well together almost by accident.
Well, when you made your psychic blank character, I was like, let me think. But then it's like, oh, wait, you're trying to capture psychers. That makes sense. Why they would need you? They'd like, yeah, helped me focus the campaign, like, because I wanted to run it in the system and the setting, and I wanted to do something where it's not chaos cults all the time. There was a chaos cult, but they were just like random bad guys. They weren't like
store brand chaos.
Yeah, it's not like the plot revolves around chaos cults doing bad things, which is like how every fucking 40K story goes. Anyway, Noah, I catch you as you.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. How's your meal? No, it's been a great time. Just, you know, echo everybody else. I like how we're all different, but there's enough like similarities in background between certain characters that it works out pretty well. I like having like V and myself being like kind of two different parts of the Asher Militaro, that kind of deal. And then, yeah, to Kara's whole thing, it is that age-old quote about no plan ever surviving contact with the enemy. It's like no character ever survives contact with the actual scenario.
Never.
I've been enjoying it. It's reminiscent. It's kind of like a blend between the FFG system and then, like, Cubicle 7's Warhammer Fantasy 4th edition roleplay. It's like there's a little bit of a crossover kind of there. And I thought, like, when they first announced this, it's supposed to be kind of compatible with the FFG games, so...
It seems,
at least easy to kind of convert.
The stat blocks are certainly very, very close, yeah.
Is that old... They're using the Warhammer, like, tabletop game stat blocks for stuff like weapon skill, ballistic skill, that kind of stuff.
Classic. Yeah, no, eager to see how this game... Yeah, I'll be looking into more, like, I'll be introducing more mechanics later on, like the influence stuff, and like I said, we'll do events and endeavors. Next session, we'll look at advancement as well, as, you meet the nice old lady who runs the orphanarium, with all the secrets. So yeah, that'll be great. And then you can find out about which target you want to go after first. And we'll go from there. But anyways, thank you all so much for playing. And thank you all so much for listening. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
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 Let me stop recording.